about.
Do we need to have another convo about you being on your phone at work?
I was just seeing what time it is.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what time it is. It's work time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, it's Dave, the King of Mexico, and I'm here at Staples Center for the Lakers fan protest. And I think I got a solution for them. So let's go see if I can change your mind. How about I offer you a better solution for than the Lakers, and that's the Clippers.
No, always Laker fan. Bad no. I'd rather sell my soul to the devil right now than to sell my soul to the Clipper Nation. I'm sorry.
One last chance, yes.
No.
But I'm inviting you as my guest to come and check them out. No.
No, 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 no. No.
How about if I buy a onesie for the baby?
No.
How about one ticket and some McDonald's?
Sorry, my man.
What?
A McFlurry.
No.
So that went well. Go Clippers.
And now.
What are we doing? What are we doing here?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 15th of May.
What's up, corn chips?
Nope.
You writing these down, you think?
I'm not sure that's a thing.
I'm not. I actually... Think about it during the intro. what two words go together today?
Wow, I wish it was a longer intro.
I didn't know
for corn chips.
I didn't know we'd see such an inside look at broadcasting.
Yeah,
today, right.
So corn chips is a no. You don't believe that?
I don't think so.
It's not
sticking. No.
I think you were just hungry when you were trying to come up with that. Mm-hmm.
How about clam dip? Clam dips. How about clam dips?
That sounds directed towards Allie, and I don't like it.
Okay.
Wow, right. Didn't even think that, you weirdo.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I thought.
We're off to a great start.
Hey, usually there's chit-chat and then the thing, but I want to make sure we have time for the thing, so I'm going to get right to the thing. Last night, if you were on Twitter, you may have noticed that 9 out of the 10 U.S. trends involve the NBA draft lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular. Big, big night for basketball fans. And by the way, I don't want to run anybody away who doesn't care about the sport ball, because this is actually, this conversation is not going to really be about basketball as much as it's going to be about the great broadcaster, Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, sweet.
Who's amazing.
Yeah.
As we all know. Is there anyone on ESPN who's more of a love him or hate him personality?
I don't know.
There's not many love hims.
Yeah, maybe even in all of sports.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, so Jensen, you know a lot more about this than I do. Essentially, the NBA draft lottery is you find out what order you're going to be able to pick from the new players coming into the league next month, right?
Yeah.
So you get to pick from the college players and in some cases high school players.
No high school anymore, not yet.
That's right. They changed
their college. Yeah, they're coming back. We got a couple years.
Okay, so in other words, your team has the opportunity to get the very best players if you draw a high enough number. And they actually do it like an actual money lottery.
Yes.
Little ping pong balls.
Yes, for the top four, you do lottery balls. Then the rest go in order of the worst team from that point on.
Now, Stephen A. Smith is a lifelong Knicks fan, and there was a lot of hope. They had a 14% chance of getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm. They were tied amongst
with Cleveland and Phoenix.
Yep.
Right, Cleveland, Phoenix, and New York all had 14% chance of getting the number one pick. The New Orleans Pelicans had a 6% chance of getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's important to remember, because after we hear Stephen A. Smith before the draw, we'll hear Stephen A. Smith after the draw. So here he is freaking out, realizing that he's minutes away from finding out whether his Knicks have a chance to get the number one pick, which I think we all know at this point means Zion Williamson from Duke, who's a once-in-a-generation player.
Yes.
Right.
They're saying he's the best new player to be available in the draft at pick one, probably since Anthony Davis, right?
I would even say he's LeBron James. Yeah, I would say it's a step above that.
All right, so it changes your whole franchise. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
I mean, this is a good look, man.
What?
I am suffering. It's hard to take. How many years?
Now, again, nothing has happened yet, okay? This is just him getting nervous about how the draft is going to go, how the lottery is going to end up for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking. I'm talking to you as listeners of this radio show, as a native New Yorker. But I got to admit, Jonathan, John Winthrop, I'm talking to God himself. I need prayer. I need my prayers answered for just once. Please, please, please.
Does he know that there's a microphone in front of him?
Now he wants to make sure you can hear him without it.
Yeah.
John Winthrop is his producer on his ESPN show. So he's pleading to God at this point. And by the way,
God hates the Knicks, by the way. I think we all know that.
Well, that's clear. That's clear from the last 50 years.
Right.
But, I think it's a good use of God's time, because all the problems have been solved.
I think now is a good time to also tell you that April 3rd, 2019, there was a Sports Illustrated article titled, Stephen A. Smith Contract, ESPN Will Boost Salary to $10
Million. Oh, wow. My God.
Might be time to let you know that.
Wow.
Well, whatever he's doing is working. All right, back to God.
Just one time when it comes to these Knicks. Last time the New York Knicks won a championship, I was 5 years old.
Move.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm 51. I was five. I was five.
By the way, I have a lot of sympathy. There are many listeners who are long-suffering sports fans.
Of course.
Look, I'm a Seattle Mariners fan. They're one of two teams that has never even been to the World Series, okay?
Well, that's a poor choice, but go ahead.
So, and that's 20 years. That's only 20 years of me. Stephen A. Smith has lived with this since he was five.
I know the feeling. I'm
yeah.
a Phillies
fan. Yeah,
can't
exactly.
relate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you can't at all, can you, Al?
I was 5 years old. Do you understand the magnitude of my drama?
No.
He's not exaggerating.
No.
And damn it, I'm not just talking about myself. Huh? I'm talking about New York Knicks fans everywhere. We have suffered. We have suffered. And I understand everybody's not a Christian. You got Muslims out there. What? You got Jewish folks out there.
Okay, what's happening?
How do we get into religion immediately?
What's happening?
What just happened?
Wait.
You got Catholics out there. You might have Buddhists out there, for crying out loud. Everybody pray. If you're a Knicks fan, it is time to come together and get on our collective knees and point to a source higher than ourselves and say, my goodness, for one time, good Lord, please.
Yes, Kevin.
Could I just say again, I'm going to echo what Bean said, which mm-hmm. is that God probably has higher priorities. Mm-hmm. Than the Knicks.
But if you, there are people who believe in God and that God is all powerful and can multitask, can do everything. He can solve
right
a hunger crisis and also get the Knicks a high draft pick.
But is it important to him to get the Knicks a high draft pick?
Well, I don't know.
He also already has answered the prayers of Zion Williamson here. So, you know, he can only give out so many.
Yeah. Right, true. Yeah.
Please! Please! Let us get the number one overall pick, because the Knicks need something. Because if this doesn't happen, you know what's next, right?
What's that?
Suicide?
We're left. Because let me tell you something. Let me stop. Let me reel in myself emotionally.
Okay. Too late for that, but.
I'm trying to be cool.
Okay.
It's just hard. I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of suffering.
So he's.
Wow.
Homeless and has cancer? Is
right.
that what's happening?
So
here,
many. Or? He's just feeding Bean drops at this point.
He is, yeah.
Or is it just that his basketball team isn't good? All right, one more short clip. So this is after what happened where the New Orleans Pelicans got the first pick. Mm-hmm. And, of course, went insane, as Jensen was just saying off the air. It's going to change the franchise forever. Because they're going to get Zion next
and the Knicks okay. And the Knicks got number three, which
right.
Is not a great pick. Is number yeah, number three, not a great pick for them. The worst case scenario got them at five.
So now Smith is at home after he's not even broadcasting at this point, Kevin. Mm-hmm. He's at home sitting in his house in the dark.
What? Okay. In the dark?
Yeah. In the dark, yes. And I feel like we're about to see a man take his own life after what happened. And he is beaten like a donkey. Listen to this.
Damn it! Hmm? Damn it!
He's just an old man just shouting into the universe at this point. He can't believe what he just saw.
Typical Knicks, man.
Right?
I knew it. They'd get close. They'd tease us. Then they wouldn't get it done.
Wait.
They didn't do anything.
Wait. Wait, yes. He's blaming the Knicks?
Yes. For their lottery ball.
Like it's their
right.
fault?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, exactly. Yes. Okay. I think somebody needs to go check on Mr. Smith.
$10 million.
I'm fine if no one does.
Yeah.
I just feel like he may be too invested in his team. Perhaps he's making videos at home weeping in the dark after the lottery.
5 years old! 5 years old!
I'm suffering! Sometimes it pays to not be a sports fan, you guys.
Wow. That was rough.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it, too, but only because he's melting down.
5 years old! 5 years old!
Allie, you love it, too?
I despise that man with every part of my being. And hearing him suffer, it makes me happy, but I also wish it was more. Yeah.
Not enough. They should have gotten no draft pick.
Little more. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
No, 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 no.
Who do you want to see on the Iron Throne at the end of the series?
Stephen A. Smith.
The white horse.
Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, jeez.
The white horse is an awesome choice, by the way.
Thank you so much.
He's very cute. I mean, I know that's what you're looking for to rule
that's what
all
you want. Yeah.
Seven worlds, but Six he's cute. Cute.
You need very cute. Artist Luke McGarry will join us today. Love that,
oh,
dude.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best. We have Deal Breakers. We were talking about Beautiful People. The website mm-hmm. for so you can date other beautiful people, and they turn down pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a list of reasons why you get turned down. And then we're going to get into a topic of what is it about another person, one thing, especially the smallest thing possible, that you just go out.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I'm so fascinated with this, because some of the things on the list that are deal breakers include like a unibrow, for instance. Would you walk away from a potentially great mate because he had a unibrow?
No, those that could be fixed. Waxing, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just people, right?
As an Armenian guy, people. I take offense to that.
But we haven't played for Bean, my moment with last week.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know there was a new one until yesterday. I'm so excited.
And yesterday we got a, would you say 7.5 minutes moment with Bean?
It was
a journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never been hung out to dry more in the history of this show. Mm-hmm. And I respect you for it.
That's the rule, right?
Yes.
And also we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party coming up on this morning's show. We're going to play a game we think you'll enjoy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What the heck is going on?
Were your spidey senses tingling yesterday?
What's going on?
Is this because of T-Swizzle being on Ellen today?
No.
You don't think I've set that up to record on every channel?
I didn't know that. Not part of this story.
Okay,
or
go ahead.
Anyone's.
Right. But it's all that matters today.
Okay, all right. According to a rumor from English tabloid The Mirror, a recent Marvel-related leak has revealed that your sweet Zac Efron.
Go on.
Has been cast to star as Adam Warlock in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I don't know anything about the words you're speaking.
Well, let me fill you in. The introduction of Adam Warlock was previously teased in the post-credit scene of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. If you don't know about Adam Warlock...
I don't.
His first appearance was in a 1967 issue of Fantastic Four. He was created to be, quote, the perfect being.
Good casting. Good casting.
What are you, Stephen A. Smith, for God's sake?
5 years old. 5 years old.
I've been suffering.
I mean, it's been a while since your sweet Zach has been on the big screen.
I don't think it has at all.
Maybe 2 months.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he did The Greatest Showman, then he did the Ted Bundy movie. He's fine.
Mm-hmm. I said big screen.
Oh, my gosh. I can't find it so beautiful.
So, Sweet Zach might be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, I am going to have to see a Marvel movie, I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Bean, if you're going to watch one, though, that's Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. And even the two former ones are really good. Yeah. Really funny.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, very different.
I don't know. Very different tone. You know me, and I just see a movie with a talking raccoon, and I go, not for me.
Just the opposite with me.
Yeah, I know.
Kevin gravitates towards that. Yeah. As a matter of fact, every movie that doesn't have a talking raccoon, you are bummed.
Yeah, Kevin's trying to add him into movies at this point.
Understandable. By the way, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Not quite sure when it's coming out because they had the whole, oh, who's our director? Blah. Oh, wait, James Gunn is our director again. We don't know, but they're saying sometime during the year 2020. So you've got time to catch up is what I'm saying, B.
Okay. But Zac Efron is going to be in it. That's the takeaway here.
Well, the rumor, a leak. But, I mean, leaks are...
Or what?
Usually right.
Okay.
If that boy were an apple, he'd be a delicious.
Hard to argue with.
Yeah, and I don't think you want to be a Red Delicious, because those are the real mealy ones.
Right?
Yeah. Which one would he want to be, Bean?
He would be a Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Honeycrisp or something.
Because he seems juicy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Man.
With a delicious, lickable skin.
All right. Take it easy. Holy crap. Good thing we're not on the air yet.
Oh, it's six. Let me wrap it up.
Shoot.
Happy birthday to Dan Patrick, tennis star Andy Murray, Jamie Lynn Sigler, and producer extraordinaire, really, Brian Eno. Right?
Sure.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You two, Talking Heads, David Bowie.
Everybody, yeah, it's crazy.
Coldplay, Roxy Music, Devo.
He has
mom,
a resume.
Your mom.
Oh, he did my mom? I didn't know that. I missed a lot when I was out on vacation.
If you missed the Kevin and Bean show, you miss a lot.
I heard that. Mm-hmm. I understand there may be a contender for the crown of the Zero Club president. We're going to talk about that later this hour. Mm-hmm. And I understand that our Hall of Fame broadcasting career continues inexplicably. And look, I've been thinking about this a lot as I'm entering my final month here on the Kevin and Bean show.
You say month or months?
Months.
Just trying to figure out how to plan.
Yeah, that was quite an announcement, if not.
Look, I've been thinking about this last week. And
got a couple hours left.
It is a goddamn miracle that anyone listens to this show.
Agreed.
That's the conclusion that I have come to.
Agreed.
Because we are not good.
Exhibit A. Eagle take color 20 right now for a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah Loud and Clear Tour at Staples Center. That is December 6th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. But if you're caller 20, you'll win a pair from K-Rock right now. 1-800-520-1087.
Yeah.
1087.
Yeah. Do you remember what happened right after that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just stop the song.
Very rare. Have you done this in a while? When have you stopped a song?
I don't think
it's been
ever.
A long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's always because of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many years have you been working on this show?
29.
Okay.
30.
He's got a problem with numbers.
I do have a problem with numbers. So then we started the song again, and I tried it again, and it worked.
You nailed it.
It worked the second time.
At least the number's new. It's one you've changed recently, right?
Why would I say 1087 under any circumstances?
No idea. No clue.
So good times. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So being that's Exhibit A.
It's right on brand.
Sure. Here's Exhibit B.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. I watched it last night, and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you. I watched it last night, and I can't wait to see it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I said that to David Cross.
Oh, my God.
Someone that would pick up on it immediately.
Why would I say I watched it? I can't wait to see it. It makes no sense.
And then I think for the rest of the interview, he thought you were lying. I think
he thought I was lying that I watched it.
Yes.
Yeah, every time you'd mention something from the special,
I
don't know if you saw it.
I think he was being funny because I kept giving examples, but
You did counteract.
Why would I say that
again?
I mean, does he make sense?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it again.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. I watched it last night, and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you. I watched it last night, and I can't wait to see it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I assume I can't wait till people see it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
To our audience sees it. I assume that's what I mean.
Sure. In Kevin's defense, words are hard.
Thank you, Bean.
And And I would also like to say that we spread it around on this program.
We do, yeah.
It's certainly, you know, if Kevin if Kevin felt bad about that, at least he knew I'd be back soon and make him look like Edward R. Murrow looking up kids. Because yesterday I fell into one of those brain freezes where I could not come up with a simple word. And this has happened to everybody in the world, on the radio or not. You just can't think of a word for whatever reason.
But mostly happens to me mostly. And so to be on the other side of it was just magical.
Had to be fun.
And the difference between people that can't come up with a word is they have kind people around them that will help them.
The rule here is if somebody can't think of a word, no one help.
Yeah, let them drown.
Let it roll as long as it can go.
Mm-hmm. If somebody's drowning, do not throw them a rope. And that was
By the way, just let me say one thing. For Allie, that was really difficult for a long time because she felt bad.
I felt awful. And
she would
help,
and we would go, stop it.
Is it weird that I've never had a problem with
it? No, it's not.
But do you remember yesterday who waved everyone
off?
Yeah,
you learned.
Sorry, Dean. Sorry.
All right, so we're talking about, I don't know if this is on the clip, but we're talking about the return of David Letterman with his Netflix interview series, and I was trying to make a reference to a bit that he used to do on his old late-night show. Let's see how that went.
Feel a little bit like being in that we expect one thing from Letterman, and he doesn't give us any of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's more...
And that's a little weird.
Yeah, it's conversations with people that he finds fascinating, and
which
he's not...
Fine.
Which is great.
But work in a little humor.
He's just not getting to, little quips that you're used to, but no
lineup.
I mean,
Kevin wanted to see Malala be thrown up against the wall, you know, with the sticky stuff. What's that called? The something. You know, the stuff where Dave would throw himself on the wall and then he'd be stuck up there because it was sticky. You know, that stuff. And Malala being a Nobel Prize winning person is not who you expect in that situation. And then he was going to put her in a tank and ask, will she float? And then he didn't do any of that either because it's Tuesday.
Nope, it's Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday.
Sweet baby Jesus.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I actually don't.
You're looking for the word Velcro.
Velcro is what it's called. Yes, Velcro wall. Yes. He didn't do it. There was nothing like that happening on
that was pretty sweet. I like that.
Hall of Fame!
Right?
Wow.
We still got it, kids. Is that the same song you were trying to give the phone number out over?
Doesn't matter.
I'm just wondering if it's giving you PTSD or something.
It's not actually.
Hearing it again. Hey, our friend, the great artist Luke McGarry, coming up on the program today. Also, we'll talk about deal breakers and who do you want to see on the Iron Throne? Kevin has a fascinating theory that I think might work, by the way. The most powerful person on the show, right?
Me.
Right? Well, I don't think that's what we're doing.
Oh.
Guys, I saw this article and I could not even believe it. Look, I know it is a difficult subject for parents to approach anything having to do with sexuality with their kids. Even if they're open-minded, even if they know a lot, it's still a hard conversation. It's hard to imagine your children becoming sexual beings.
Due to mature subject matter, viewer discretion is advised.
But this story, I think you guys will agree with me. Are parents handling it all wrong?
Parental discretion is advised.
Parents set up cameras in their teen
Parents set up cameras
in their teen son's room.
No.
Maybe it's a good time for me to mention that parents with small children listening might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
After catching him masturbating.
Oh, no.
He's in Alaska. He went on to Reddit to seek legal advice from the Redditors there. He said his parents set up security cameras in his bedroom and bathroom.
I was going to say, you should have one in the shower because that's where most of it's going down.
You should have one in every room, by the way.
Okay.
In the yard, in the car, in the laundry room,
next door neighbor's backyard.
In the sink.
Oh, jeez!
After his parents set up cameras in his bedroom and bathroom to make sure he no longer masturbates, what can I do, he asked. I'm 15 and I think I should be allowed to touch my own body. This is embarrassing. and it destroys my privacy. Please help. Apparently, at the beginning of May, so just within the last 2 weeks, his parents caught the teen masturbating, which, by the way, I should point out in case there are young people listening, is 100% normal. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, okay? Why are they shaming this kid?
This is insane.
Yes. Instead of having a conversation where they say to the kid, hey, it's completely normal and there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay? This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
He wrote that his parents have taboo beliefs regarding sexual activities before marriage and that he had to learn some things off the internet because he was not even allowed to be in a sexual education class. His parents opted him out of sex ed class, would not talk to him about sex. Mm. Then when he discovered, hey, that feels good, now he's being shamed for it. My dad barged in without knocking and started screaming at me. He and my mom, by the way, picture that moment for a second for that poor kid.
Oh, my God.
He and his mom.
Give me just 30 more seconds.
He and my mom then sat me down and told me I'm not allowed to touch myself. Mm-hmm. The mortified teen agreed not to masturbate anymore. But then he later found an Amazon package with indoor security cameras inside. I asked my dad and he said they're putting them in my room and in the bathroom so they can daily monitor and make sure that I'm not doing it.
I have to warn you, some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers. Please ask your children to leave the room.
So let's pretend for a minute that we're on this Reddit group.
Yeah.
And he is coming to us. This 15-year-old in Alaska is asking for advice. What do we tell this kid? What should he do next?
Because
he's 15. He lives at home. He's got to live under their rules, right?
Because he's 15, is it 100% legal of the parents? Like, if it wasn't legal, yeah, I would sue immediately.
Well,
but
they own the house. They could put cameras wherever they want, I believe.
I don't know. I don't know what the rules – I would look into that hardcore, though,
yeah.
Because I would sue in a second if there was anything
– If he knows the cameras are there, too.
Then you go to your parents' room when they're gone. Yeah. That's what you do.
but Kevin, that's not enough. Your parents may not leave the house every 25 minutes. I mean,
I burned the house down just so it's out there. I mean, this is a terrible situation.
Of course it is.
These sheets used to be blue.
Oh, Kevin.
Evan.
Too far, man.
I mean, between you and Sink Boy, come on.
Just trying to go along with the story.
Okay.
Could the argument be, I know this sounds stupid because it's their kid, but could the argument be, hey, you're creating child porn by filming me?
Oh.
Interesting.
Wow,
I don't know.
That got dark.
That's
yeah.
a different angle.
Well, I'm just looking for a way out for this poor kid.
For sure.
Mom, Dad, I will be naked in my room every second there's a camera there. That would be child porn.
And does he have any recourse beyond sitting down as parents? I mean, where could he go to get help? I mean, does he go to the ACLU? Does he go to the counselor at school and say, please talk to my parents? I mean, like, can you even change parents' minds if they're this far gone?
It doesn't sound like there's any changing these parents.
And they won't even let him take a sex ed class.
Yeah.
So talking to a teacher at school isn't going
to
help
you. You're not allowed to touch yourself? That's ridiculous.
Well,
what?
I mean, between that, women can't, you know, no autonomy over your own body. I mean, we get it as women.
I don't know what just happened.
She's hijacking and going on
100
miles the other direction.
Wait to hear what the parents think about you is what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
All I know is that so far, none of us are attorneys here. Mm-hmm. None of us are doctors. But so far, Jensen had the best idea, which is just the kid has to burn the house down.
Yeah. There's no out here.
Okay. These,
by the way, all jokes aside, this is what creates terrible situations for people as adults. I mean, this is what you hear a lot from, I mean, to bring it up, a lot of the school shooters talk about repressed sexuality.
And the incels.
Like, and incels and stuff like that. Like, this is a bad look all around.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, we should have courses for this for parents. But I am going to raise my child like this. So.
There's Cage the Elephant, a past Weenie Roast band. K-Rock Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party is happening soon, June 8th at Doheny State Beach. This year's lineup includes the Lumineers, 311 Silver Sun Pickups, the Revivalist X Ambassadors, and more. We'll give you a chance to win those at 9 a.m. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then every single hour up until 5 p.m. Pretty good deal. You can also go to K-Rock.com for your chance to win VIP passes and a hotel stay. Good luck.
Pete, I don't think you were filled in on this, but last week I ran out of gas.
That is a violation of everything you believe in as the president, founder of the Zero Club.
Which I realize now maybe I was being a little harsh.
Changing your tune.
Because it can happen. Look, I was trying to get to a doctor's appointment. I even left work a little bit early, and I was rushing as fast as I could. Mm-hmm. And then it was on 0 miles to empty, and I knew I had, like, I don't know, 10 more miles.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I didn't, which is nothing for you, the president of the Zero Club.
And I couldn't be late, so I was just like, I can do it. Yeah. I can totally do it. No problem.
Well, I feel like a lot of what makes the Zero Club work is just how hard you believe your car's
right.
going to get
you,
there.
Right. Thank you, Bean. Thank you. So I tried, and I went about 10 miles, and I ran out of gas, I don't know, half mile from my doctor's office. Maybe half a mile. So then I ran the rest of the way to my doctor's office. Got there about 3-4 minutes late. He saw
me. Just left your car on the side of the road?
Well, I mean, I locked it. Yeah, I pulled it over to the
But you didn't make it into
curb.
A parking lot or anything like that.
I mean, technically it was parked on the curb where it was a parking space.
Kind of.
Okay. So then I went to the doctor and came back, and I found out that the police did not consider that a parking space.
Okay.
They disagreed with my judgment of that being a parking space.
Adding insult to injury.
And they
okay.
wrote on a little red ticket. So that happened.
So you got a nice police officer's autograph. That's great.
So then do you call
AAA?
No.
What'd you do for
just
gas?
Go to a gas station and get a little can and fill it up.
Well, I didn't know if there was a gas station close enough to walk to.
Yeah, it was like a quarter mile the other way.
Okay.
What? Why is that? What?
What's wrong with AAA? You act like AAA is like the worst idea. With AAA, you would have just called AAA and you would have just chilled out for like, you know, 15 minutes and they would have brought you gas.
That took me about 6 minutes. To do it.
You had a gas station with this is a not the, gas can with you?
This is not the important part.
All right, my bad. No, yeah, the important part is that the Zero Club president has problems.
Right, so I ran out of gas. Part. And in the past, everybody's like, oh, if I run out of gas, can I be a member of the Zero Club? And I was like, no, beat it, kid.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear
you
it.
You put the hammer down on those people.
Yeah. May have been harsh.
Yes.
May have been harsh.
I feel like an impeachment is about to happen.
Well,
listen.
Not the right one, but at least here on the show.
Feels like a coup.
But then we started looking around, and it's not like that. I have a vice president. I mean, no one else is dumb enough to do this.
So you're saying you had a governing body of just yourself.
I'm the only one.
Yeah.
As I've seen in politics, I just pardoned myself.
Right, because then we had people call in and say whether or not you were going to stay in the
president. We did a scientific survey, Bean.
Yeah.
And it
oh,
was
okay.
3-2, yes.
Yeah, so he stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still the president, okay.
Right?
Yeah, and I think that really has to change because you guys seen Sons of Anarchy, right?
Yeah,
of
course.
You know, and Jax was the president, and when he ran into issues, you know, with the MC, you know, you being the president of the ZC, you have to make a change, okay? You are losing a step, my friend. And I've been in the Zero Club for, I don't know, 3 years, you know, and since this was a thing. And Zoe and I...
Your daughter.
My daughter.
How old?
She is 5.
Okay, let me just say this. Never risked it with kids in the car.
Oh,
that's insanity.
Wow, now
that's insanity.
He's putting his foot down.
Yeah,
no, but seriously. But seriously, if I run out of gas with a 5-year-old...
Oh.
Did you ever push?
I'm not running out of gas, dude. That's a you even lost what the Zero Club means, brother. Oh, man. We really...
Get me back on track.
We're going to have to take your cutaway, dude.
So what happened to you?
So I did this little video because on Tuesday, I was in the Zero Club with Zoe, and I'm surprised you didn't see this. I put this on my Instagram stories, and I put you on it.
Yeah.
But this is what happened. See that, Kevin? This is how you roll, man. You pull up 0 miles to empty. Boom. At the gas... Yeah, that's right, Zoe. Zero Club.
So my daughter, your 5-year-old shouting Zero Club.
We are in the Zero Club so often. So I talk to her about the Zero Club and what it means. And she's all like...
But did you tell her don't do it?
Well, she's 5. She's not driving yet, but I'm going to encourage it because I'm the president. I'm going to be the president.
You're not the president. There's no president.
Wow. I'm thinking.
Yeah. There's no president other than me.
Who needs to be president more than me? You have lost sight of what the Zero Club means, man.
Oh, man.
This got really serious.
Listen, I didn't realize this was happening. This is a coup.
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't realize that.
I think we might need to put up some sort of poll online. And
we did that last week.
Well, no, you didn't have a competition.
Yes. We did that last week, and everybody said you're fine.
Listen.
Because you were running unopposed.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
That happens.
And now you just lost.
And then I win the election, and now somebody else goes, oh, I want to be in the election. No, we already had it.
Ooh, boy.
Wow. So ugly.
I'm going to say we have one guy who's been in the Zero Club for 3 years and has never run out of gas. And we have another guy who's been in the Zero Club for 3 years who ran out of gas 5 days ago. Now, you tell me who makes more sense.
And for the record, so much of this involves confidence. We learned that the president isn't even confident enough to be on Zero with a child in the car.
Boom.
Yeah.
And I'm spreading the word to my children.
Wait, you know, and that's,
and she's
good?
Telling her little 5-year-old friends.
Yeah.
So I mean, you taught your 5-year-old.
I'm breeding a whole new crop of Zero Clubbers. And what are you doing for the cause, Kevin?
What was the last time you had a kid, Kevin?
Yes.
I mean, okay, it hasn't been 5 years, but...
Well, see, get on it, man.
Get on it, Kevin. Get on. Have a kid.
What's this kind of... Where are we going with
we
this?
We need to put a poll up online and have the Zero Clubbers decide. Okay. And so you want to fight to the death.
So you're calling a revote.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe what we can do is have you guys, like, in just a short video, plead your case on why you need to retain the presidency.
Okay.
And why Omar needs to step in, because you have lost a step.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a thing in some countries, including Britain, Kevin, where they have a confidence vote, where at any time the parliament can say, do we still have faith that this leader is the right person for the job?
Yes, and the confident vote was last week, my friend.
Well, you had no competition.
And just because I had no competition doesn't mean we have another vote.
That was before.
After Donald Trump won the presidency, no one could come forward and go, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
He's the president?
That's
okay.
That's good defense.
I'm going to run against him now.
Yeah.
January 21st.
That was before Omar Khan, my new Zero Hero. He is ready to
Zero
go.
Hero.
He's ready to enter the campaign, and I'm going to be his campaign manager.
Well, he already has. Jason. I don't know. I think you'd do better with Zozo.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, totally. I'll walk away.
Yeah.
All right, so are we going to do this?
We're going to do this.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Kevin has his back against the wall right now. He's Cersei right
it's
now,
time
man.
For change, people.
He just realizes the dragon just got into the room, man.
There's a weird vein I'm seeing in his forehead that is, it's aggro.
Listen, we'll
Omar,
tell you that.
Omar, Omar.
I got to tell you something.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Are you going to be graceful in defeat, Kevin? Are you going to be one of those ex-presidents that's always criticizing the new guy? Or are you going to fade into obscurity?
I already sense a recount. I already feel like...
Oh, there's going to be problems.
Yeah, you're not leaving without a fight.
It's a civil war.
Yeah.
It sounds like the battle for Zero Club is really getting serious and fast.
Yeah, this is nuts.
All right, we'll tell you how you can vote coming up here pretty soon. One of our favorite artists in the whole wide world and a nice guy. He did all the artwork for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness issue.
Yes, he did. Which
you saw and enjoyed. Luke McGarry is going to be joining us in studio just after 7. We'll find out about an amazing event that's coming up this weekend. Plus, Ali is here with What's Happening on a Wednesday.
Do you guys remember when The Cure curated last year's Meltdown Festival in London? Nine Inch Nails, My Bloody Valentine, The Cure played, and it was all bands that basically The Cure handpicked for this festival.
Yep.
Well, they're at it again, you guys. If you want a little peek into Robert Smith's personal playlist.
Robert Smith of The Cure.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying.
Mm-hmm. You might be finding some clues in the lineup for the first ever Pasadena Daydream Festival.
Thank God there's another music festival.
Oh, when I tell you this one, though, thank God for this. So it's going to be at the Rose Bowl, site of the past Arroyo Seco weekend festivals. This is a one-day event, though. August 31st, The Cure, The Pixies, The Deftones, Throwing Muses, Chelsea Wolfe, Joy Formidable. It's a hard word. You guys, this is all going down one day at a beautiful venue. The Cure is headlining with the Pixies.
I've been watching since they started doing music again. I've been watching everywhere to see when they're going to come locally.
Yes. This is going to be quite the hot ticket. And not a hard place to sell out, even though it's huge. But you've got The Cure playing?
Sure.
Last time The Cure played a really big venue here in L.A., do you remember? Dodger Stadium in 1989.
Don't remember that. That's odd.
Do you know who their opener was, handpicked by them? The Pixies! Just saying, Robert Smith loves the Pixies, as do I. Oh my God, the Pixies, The Cure, Deftones. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's pretty
Robert
strong.
Smith of The Cure.
Yes, yes. Yes. That one, yes.
I had mentioned that. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. Looks like general admission tickets, $150 plus some fees, and VIP going up to about $300. You guys.
And I would just like to say, if you ever wanted to see The Cure, this is the time to do it because they're still flush with excitement over getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Robert Smith of The Cure.
Yes, right? Yes.
Uh-huh. You
this
got
is the
that?
Clip I meant to play.
Yeah.
It's so nice to meet you. Hi. Congratulations, The Cure, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees 2019. Are you as excited as I am?
By the sounds of it, no.
I hope he does that song.
If you know anything about Robert Smith, you don't start yelling at him.
Yeah.
That was a crazy interview.
Very peppy.
Right.
Very excited. Oh, I love it so very much. Again, August 31st, you guys.
Can't wait.
Kind of a huge, huge deal. Bean, I don't know if you've heard about this, but...
Taylor Swift is on Ellen today?
You have mentioned that. But okay. Earlier this week, The Voice teased a surprise announcement from the Jonas Brothers and BTS. However, they didn't follow through with the K-pop band, and now the BTS army is coming for them.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
So wait, The Voice made it sound like BTS was going to be involved in the show somehow, but then it didn't come through.
Yeah, then they teased Monday. The Jonas Brothers appeared via a pre-tape message to announce that they're going to be hitting The Voice stage next week. Following that announcement, Carson Daly dropped some huge news and said, as if that wasn't enough, Taylor Swift is going to be here with Brendon Urie of Panic, and they're going to do their new hit, Me. And BTS fans are like, also, if that wasn't enough... And that announcement never came. So they
I'm Carson Daly, and I'm a massive tool.
No, he is a lovely man. So no mention of BTS during the episode at all, and the glaring omission wasn't mentioned on the show's social media accounts either. So the BTS army, very upset, accusing The Voice of catfishing and false advertising. They spam the show with outraged memes and GIFs demanding an explanation, an apology, and or the hour back of their lives that they just wasted. I'm not sure how they will repay that. But yeah, it seems odd.
It sounds like a mistake was made by somebody in The Voice publicity. But we have BTS coming out on the show at 8:20 this morning.
Did
so
we
can ask them about that.
Yeah, 8:20. Yeah. And Taylor Swift and Brendon Urie after
yeah?
that.
Yeah. Excellent. Wow, it's a stacked show.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know.
Usually that means travel fell through or they got
that's what I think is they were telling the truth at first and then something happened. That happens.
Yeah, but put out a statement that said wanted BTS to be on. We regret that their schedule did not permit it or something. Don't just leave people hanging.
Sounds like someone's in the BTS army.
Yeah. Somebody's upset.
Huh? Right? Who's with me? You guys, yesterday was National Biscuit Day. I apologize for not bringing it up, but I have this for you. Red Lobster is giving away insulated fanny packs that they want you to put the Cheddar Bay biscuits in.
I'm sorry?
Only a limited number are available, and you have to win them. All you have to do is tweet at Red Lobster and share what you love most about the biscuits between now and June 4th. Have you guys had those Cheddar Bay biscuits?
Oh, they're godsend.
Right?
Yeah.
They're crack.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do I need a fanny pack to carry
it's
them around?
It's insulated. How great would that be?
No, I don't.
You just put the biscuits right in there, and then they're just always warm.
Right?
They keep biscuits warm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it?
Delicious.
Right. Come on. Like, a weenie roast, you wouldn't rock a Red Lobster fanny pack?
I mean...
Comerlo. That's for that.
So delicious.
I would rock it, ironically.
Saying.
Okay.
What if you were walking around knowing on your person there were Cheddar Bay biscuits?
Well, they don't give you the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
No, well, you have to go get those, but they give you a place for them to live. Warm.
I don't know if that... I mean...
That's my point is...
A lifetime supply. Don't get me wrong. I'm tweeting them every couple minutes.
You greedy mofos.
I don't know if I just need the fanny pack. If they could supply the biscuits, I'm in.
Listen, fanny packs are having a moment.
I mean, they are.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right.
I don't need that.
Mmm, delicious.
Get the Cuba Gooding sandwich.
You guys want to wrap it up?
Yep.
Me too. Jamie Lynn Sigler, Brian Eno, Dan Patrick, and tennis star Andy Murray all celebrating a birthday today.
Going to be talking dating deal breakers coming up as a result of that list that came out on beautifulpeople.com. By the way, Kevin, I haven't seen you on beautifulpeople.com lately. You get booted? What happened?
You've been looking for me.
I've been looking for you. Just wanted to touch base, say hi.
I took myself out for a minute.
Because too much action?
Too much action.
Too much beauty.
Anyway, that's all coming up this hour on K-Rock. First, though, how excited are we to see our favorite cartoonist in the world? Luke McGarry joins us.
Hey,
in
studio.
Hey, Luke. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How's everybody here doing?
We are good.
Delighted to see you and your sexy accent. We're going to be talking about the Comic Arts Festival happening in HB in a minute, but I wanted to say it was so, first of all, thank you so much for doing the artwork for Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, our comedy show. Your art was tremendous and tremendously well received that night.
Oh, agreed. Thank you very much.
You probably heard that all the comedians wanted to take posters home so they could put them in their house. But here's the question I have. So I met you backstage. I was so happy to meet you in person, and we took a photo together.
Yeah.
And I didn't get one on my phone. You only had it, and then you never posted it.
I think I did, but it was hidden in like a carousel of Instagram posts, because you got to like put the multiple sexy pictures first.
Sure, of course. And that's not the sexy
pictures. I won't get any likes. Yeah,
that's correct.
I think he's saying he wouldn't get any likes if people saw Bean.
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
I was thinking, oh, I want that picture because I would have posted that picture with Luke too. And I kept looking. I never saw it. I thought, he was just doing that to make me feel good.
He made the right decision.
Yeah. He had no intention of posting that photo. He just thought, oh, I'll throw the kid a bone.
I will slide it into your DMs later.
Now we're talking. How long have you been drawing, Luke? How old were you when you realized you had this amazing talent to cartoon?
I haven't yet realized it as an amazing talent, but I've been drawing basically my entire life. But I've been working professionally since I was in high school. So
any professional training in high school?
Yeah.
That's so annoying. I was doing nothing in high school but throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Did you never have to have a non-cartoon job?
No. I know. I've managed to avoid real work my entire life. So
that's
far.
Amazing. Because I would imagine, even though you're passionate about it and you're in like sixth grade or something and you're doing your drawings and stuff, most people, parents included, are probably saying, oh, but you have to still find real work.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is my dad's a cartoonist as well. So I kind
of
grew up assuming that's what you were supposed to do. Like, it wasn't until I started school that I realized, people's parents didn't sit at home all day in their underwear drawing pictures.
Well, not for money.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's been charmed for you then to be able to follow your passion.
Yeah, I've been
your
lucky
whole life.
Knowing that it is something you can, just about make a living at.
What was the first thing that you did as a professional in high school?
I did a poster for this band called Bad Dudes. who were actually really good.
Were they bad dudes?
They were pretty bad dudes. I'm sure they're not listening. I'm sure most of them are dead.
The diss to the show.
I'm sorry. Most of them are dead?
I'm sure most of them are.
Okay.
But, yeah, they were really good. They were actually a bunch of doinks, though. Hmm. But yeah, like really...
Ironic name.
Math rocky.
How many jobs do you have now in terms of clients that you draw for regularly?
Too many. And that was part of the problem of getting up so early to come here today.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Like 3 in the
Everything
morning.
From OC Weekly to Mad Magazine to the Hollywood Reporter to just Vans.
To Playboy. I'm working with Zed at the moment some posters and merch and stuff.
Do they give you the ideas they want or do they just say, here's the event, come up with something?
Yeah, a lot of people just give me a blank slate, which is really cool. Because even when they do give me directions, I just end up doing what I want anyway.
Right. So it's like, those directions? Don't need them. Got my own thing.
Don't you wish, Kevin, that you could draw? Like,
yes, I've always wished that.
It'd be so great.
Let me ask a question because I argue with my daughter about this all the time because she's a good artist. Mm-hmm. She says it's learned. It's just learned. So basically, if I spent as much time as she did, I would be at the same level. And I don't think that's true. I think there's some innate talent that people have more of.
I think
Have less of, and I'm one of the less of.
I think there's a little bit of innate talent, but you really have to nurture it. And
but that, if I worked the same amount of time you did,
yeah,
I would not be as good as you are.
I don't know. That's not necessarily true because you would develop your own style. You would, you know, find different techniques and stuff. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, but Stefan Pastis is a perfect example. The guy that does the comic strip Pearls Before Swine.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a technically skilled artist, but he's a very, very funny person. So he's developed a style and he's probably one of the biggest guys in the newspaper.
Kevin has to be funny too, which...
Oh yeah, well that's, yeah. That's something you can't learn.
That's two things I can't do.
No. Do you ever draw for pleasure now, or are you so busy working you can't?
Yeah, I mean, I do my Instagram thing.
Which is so funny.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's one of my favorite accounts.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. That's at Lukey McGarry on Instagram. Ho, ho, ho. But yeah, I do that.
Wait, ho ho ho's part of it or not part of it?
Not part of it.
He does a whole Santa.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just a Santa theme.
But
Instagram
I'm very invested in crying Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
many characters.
That sad Chewie is how I had seen your work on like Festival Supreme posters, stuff like that, and I was like, this dude's really good. But then it was one of your first sad Chewie posts, and I told everyone here, I'm like, you guys, a cartoon about Chewbacca made me sob. And they were like, what is wrong with you? And
oh, no, we've come to expect
that. No, you know. But, I mean, that is one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is that where you got kind of like a push from that?
Yeah, that certainly helped. That was like stage two of my Instagram career, online career. Like, I had a little bit of a following, but then I started doing, these cartoons about Chewbacca dealing with the death of Han Solo. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Star Wars. Yeah, I know.
Son of a bitch, I was going to watch that tonight.
Yeah. That's how it was spoiled for me, because I started doing it for this company, and they were like, hey, yeah, we should do some cartoon about how, like, Han Solo has just died. And the movie had come out, like, the day before.
Oh, no.
I was going to see it that night, and they're like, yeah, let's start doing some stuff about it. Oh, man.
That's awesome. Our guest is Luke McGarry. He is a terrific artist on Twitter and Instagram at Lukey McGarry. You are a member of the National Cartoonists Society, and there is an event coming up this weekend in downtown Huntington Beach. Now, forgive me for not knowing it, but is this the first time this has happened, or is this a yearly thing?
Yeah, this is the inaugural first time world premiere festival of, or you know, yeah, this festival that we're doing. Basically, real quick, the National Cartoonist Society, of which I am a member, is the world's premier professional cartoonist organization. It started in 1946 when all the cartoons got together to draw for the troops during the war. And they just decided that they liked drinking together and giving each other awards. So they started doing that. We founded the National Cartoonist Society. Now we do like charitable works and stuff, like drawing at children's hospitals, you know, all that stuff. And we still drink and give each other awards a lot. But we've decided to found this festival, which is less of a comic convention and more of like a European style comic art festival. So it's outdoors. Almost everything there is free. But yeah, we've got
cool
seminars, workshops, meet and greets.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do love Luke, but one of my favorite cartoonists in the world will be there, Daniel Close, who people know from Ghost World and 8-Ball and some amazing stuff. And I really, just to even meet him would be cool.
Yeah, and that's the big selling point on the festival for me, too. I wouldn't be going if he wasn't there.
Do you and the other artists sell your work, Luke?
Yeah, we'll be selling some of our work. There's a whole marketplace area down on Main Street in Huntington Beach, all weekend. But the big one that I should push is we're all doing a signing tomorrow night at the Hyatt Regency in Huntington Beach in the Mariners Ballroom from 5 to 7. And you can meet literally every cartoonist you've ever been a fan
of. That's crazy.
You've got Charlie Adlard from The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. You've got guys from The Simpsons and Futurama. You've got basically every newspaper strip you can imagine. You've got me. I'll be doing caricatures of people.
How is this not a thing until now? This is so brilliant.
That's what we've been asking. So then we decided to found the festival.
Good for you. Well done.
Right. So the website is ncsfest.com. That's where all the information is. You can buy tickets there and the whole deal, right, Luke?
Yes, that's right. Again, most of it's free. But yeah, there's a couple premium events that you should get tickets to. But again, That's if you're really super duper into cartooning, but
okay.
If you want to just come check it out, there's loads
and
of
free fun
stuff.
For the whole family, right? NCSFest.com and Lukey McGarry on Twitter and Instagram is Luke. All right, two quick things before we take a break. Number one is you are going to be doing some sketching for us here this morning. You're going to sketch something in the next hour that we can then post, right?
Yep.
Because you make us look so handsome when you draw us. And number two is I want you to settle a long time battle that Kevin and I have been having since we've known each other these last 30 years. And I'm going to let you be the deciding factor. Okay. Kevin, if I ask Luke a cartoon question, will you abide by his answer? Kevin?
Maybe. Yes, I will.
Peanuts. Funny or not?
Not going to even go there. Don't care what Luke says.
Okay. We've been fighting about this for years, Luke. What say you? You're an expert.
I do have a very specific opinion.
Okay.
I would encourage everybody to check out the first 10 years of Peanuts because it is a completely different strip. The art style is insane. It's really cool. And it's dark. Like the first joke in Peanuts is it's like a little girl sitting on a porch. And he goes, "Here comes Charlie Brown. Good old Charlie Brown. How I loathe him." And that is just like, it's a completely different strip. So the first 10 years of Peanuts, very funny. The rest of it, not.
My thing is it's likable. They're likable characters and whatever, but not. It doesn't make me laugh. It's not funny that way.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with doing a newspaper strip every day for 100 years, however long Peanuts around. If you can make people laugh, you know, I think outside of your first 10 years, if you can make people laugh once, you know, once a year.
We're still trying over here. Exactly. Right? Yeah. So
it's going to happen. I have confidence. Yeah.
I think, Kevin, we can both take that as a win. How about that?
There
so the battle continues. All right. Luke McGarry is the greatest, you guys. Check out his stuff and be sure to be in Huntington Beach downtown. You can meet him in person, ncsfest.com. Draw away, my friend. We'll see what we come up with in the next few minutes. All right?
All right. Excellent.
Thank you.
Luke, if you're drawing Allie, give her some boobs, would you?
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
She'll be all boobs.
Wow. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Giving it to Kevin, even.
Allie's acting outraged, but she's shaking her head yes.
I'm like, your hair
bigger. How dare you.
Last week on the Kevin DeBead Show, we brought up a story that involved a private members-only dating site called Beautiful People. And what it is exactly what you think. It's about matching attractive people with other beautiful people. They have rejected since 2002 when the site launched, you guys. They have allowed in 750,000 members. Now, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Until you hear they have rejected 8.5 million people.
That seems crazy.
Yes. The odds are not in your favor if you try to get on beautifulpeople.com.
But also, if you're on there, do you want to date those people?
Well, that's the point, Kevin. You know? That's the point.
If I'm on beautifulpeople.com, I want them to be pretty strict.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What I want.
So 8.5 million people have been rejected. And what I found interesting about this is the types of qualities that make you undesirable on this site. That's their word, by the way, undesirable. So they have just released their list of the top 10 ugliest features that a person can have that will get them banned from the site, including, for instance, the top 10 ugliest features, according to women. Number one, a bad mouth. If your mouth is too small, you have no lips, or your teeth are bad, that's a deal breaker.
You can have a mouth that's too small?
Yes.
Is that...
And there's nothing you can do about
right.
that, by the way.
Is that a thing?
A mouth is very important to me. Yeah. Like
Number one, though.
No, I would want a funny guy over anything, but a mouth, yeah. I'd like you to have good teeth, and I'd like you to have supple lips.
Now, everything on this list, by the way, is all physical. It has nothing to do with personalities.
Of course, that's the whole site.
Number two is obese or overweight. That makes sense. Very few people want to date fatty. Number three is too short. Okay. Deal breaker for you, Ellie? Too short?
No, I'm 5'2". If it was, then...
If you're dating a child, if it's too short,
I will
right?
not date plus, Brad Williams anymore.
Plus dead, right? Too short? Okay,
oh,
back to you.
Oh, my God. File. Just file it.
Whoa.
I mean...
Number four, bad skin. Number five, ungroomed facial or body hair, like a unibrow, nose hair, wild beard, excessive back hair, all of which can be fixed, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All of which. Crooked, large, or otherwise ugly nose. Okay, so those are the tops according to women. Now, these are the tops according to men. Fat is number one. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't surprise anybody
obviously.
There. Eyes too far apart, too close together, or wonky. I mean, nobody is looking for a wonky-eyed dude, I guess. A big or unsightly nose is a deal-breaker. Then we come in with bad skin. Then poor figure, which is just no shape or curves. Then no butt or too much butt. Man, it's tough for you ladies.
What the hell? Yeah, this is very specific.
Thin fat, which is skinny but no body tone. Look, if she's thin, that should be good enough. Mm-hmm. And there are others that are listed. But we thought it might be interesting to throw open the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Not only to talk about the physical deal breakers, but the one thing that may be small for somebody else, but you absolutely will not date that person because of. And it could be they love the Avengers. I mean, whatever it is, mm-hmm. no matter how dumb it is, they hate the Avengers. How about that as a deal breaker? No matter how dumb it is, we want to hear what your smallest deal breaker is that you absolutely will not date a person. Jensen, you got some?
Yeah, my number one, listen, I don't want someone who's smoking. That's just the one that's obvious. But
sure.
Let's get into the minutia because I don't want to date someone ever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be near someone who has their phone ringer on at all times. So like every email, every text.
That's annoying.
Silent.
Yeah.
Silent period. That's
sure.
I had to do that with my wife and she perfectly was in that field already.
I'm sorry, with who?
Sorry. My wife.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Then my other one is that if pizza is your personality, I hate you.
I love pizza.
It is a great food. But if this is, like, if that's all you do and you think pizza is a lifestyle, get out of my life. I don't want to be near you. Like, don't wear pizza stuff all the time and be like, pizza. Like,
who wears pizza stuff all the time?
It happens, man.
It doesn't happen.
Very specific.
Pizza's
what was
like
her
a,
name?
It's like a meme. No, I swear. It's like a meme, so everyone's like, pizza's my life. You know what I mean? Like, shirts
I've
say,
never
like,
seen that anywhere.
You
but
guys
okay.
know. This, like,
I'll take your word for it.
Shirts that say, like, pizza or die or something. Like, no, dude, you're not a Ninja Turtle. Like, you're a normal person.
So you would be more likely to date somebody who, like, is all in on weed and its paraphernalia than you would for pizza.
I don't like anyone who makes anything a personality, but mm-hmm. yes, I would or like if the Big Lebowski, like White Russians, dude, like all of that stuff, I can't stand. Just don't make one thing your personality.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
All right. How about you, Allie? What kind of deal breakers do you have?
Yeah, I've got a list.
Do you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I can be very shallow when I'm trying to self-sabotage. So I have broken up with a guy because his thumbs were weird. They were like
really?
Toes. I didn't, yeah.
This is like, I don't like your thumbs.
I wanted
Peace
to break
out.
Up with him.
Okay.
One guy, I thought it was going good. Then we went to a concert and he clapped offbeat. And I was like, I can't. You are out.
Wow.
Someone who's messy, I can't. Like a little bit of mess, fine, I understand. But people whose whole lifestyle is being messy, not for me. But the biggest deal breaker for me and the reason that I broke up with someone and he was okay with it because we could not get past this. You want me to pee on you? He wanted me to pee on him. No,
wow.
That is not it.
Okay.
No, I like to sleep in a cold room. 65 and under is a perfect temperature. He liked a 72 plus room.
Oh,
it's disgusting. I want to be able to hang meat where I'm sleeping. And we couldn't get past it.
Things sweaty. I'm not eating.
But I got to be honest, like that seems like a big thing because you couldn't sleep.
Yeah, right, I couldn't sleep. And then I'd go to his place and I'd be like, we are sweating bullets. It was disgusting.
Yeah, that's completely reasonable.
Thank
by
you
the
so
way.
Much.
Yeah, that I agree with.
I only have one on my list, and that's adults that like Pikachu.
How dare you? And
you'll
stared at me.
Date.
And by the way, I don't like Pikachu. I like Detective Pikachu.
Sorry,
very different.
And my one, if I were single, would be, and this is a note, I don't care how hot or how smart or how delightful you are, if you'll drink Pepsi, I want nothing to do with you.
Hmm.
That's
really?
A deal breaker for me. Oh, Pepsi? Are you kidding me? The devil's pee? Hell no.
So if you found out that Taylor Swift was super into Pepsi, you're like, get out of here.
She endorsed Diet Coke, so I think we're fine there.
All right.
1-800-520-1067.
You know that people can't endorse products that they don't really believe in, though.
That's true. Ask Shaquille O'Neal and the General Insurance.
1-800-520-1067. What are your dating deal breakers? Doesn't have to be anything from beautifulpeople.com. We just want to hear what turns you off that's small. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right, we're talking about deal breakers, and I think the smaller the better, right? The more insignificant,
yes,
the better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, about once a year, we do this topic, and we're always amazed by something that most people would just look past or wouldn't even notice, but it's something that will make you not want to date that person. Before we go right to the calls, you heard from one of our fine celebrity friends, Allie.
Yeah, David Alan Greer, very fair. He wrote, a woman who refuses to light her farts. and I say kudos. Agreed.
Erica writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, here are my deal breakers. Just like Jensen, number one is smoking. Number two is gym life. These guys that are obsessed with being in the gym, taking selfies, their whole life is about the gym all day, every day. I don't want to compete with the gym. And number three, snoring. I need sleep. Love you guys. That says Erica.
I imagine anything that makes you not sleep has to be really rough.
It's big.
All right, let's go to Hector, who's calling from Riverside. Good morning, Hector.
Good morning. Yeah, no, I love my football, but if she's a Patriots fan, it's just done. Like, I can't do Patriots girls.
Oh, that's valid.
Is it because you don't like winners?
Anybody but the Patriots. Anybody but the Patriots.
All right, so as long as does she have to be a football fan, or do you care? Hello?
Fine, you know, okay, but Patriots fan, no.
Okay, I got it. Patriots fan, got it. Okay.
And by the way,
Nazi fine, Patriots no.
And by the way, I bet that there are a lot of people who have very sport. I mean, like, you're a Dodgers fan, you can't date a Giants fan. I bet there are people out there absolutely like that. Kevin, you couldn't date, if you were single, you couldn't date a Sharks fan, right? It just wouldn't work. No. It wouldn't work.
Nope.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Leo Long Beach up next, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, Leo.
Hey, good morning. But I don't like green hair.
Oh,
green hair.
I mean, this
like from chlorine at the pool.
No, he means like cool emo hipster.
Do you mean
hair?
Like colored hair?
Yeah, like green colored hair. Whether it's like a strip or even like the worst is like when they had a whole head colored green.
Did you have a bad experience dating the Joker? What happened,
Leo? I mean, how much are you running into this?
Pretty often.
But just green?
Are you like super into cosplay?
What if it's blue, Leo?
No, it's just I guess I drive around to like LA a lot, and I live from Long Beach, and like I guess I just happen to see or communicate with people that happen to have green
hair. Okay, but what about other colors?
Yeah.
I guess I'm iffy on that too.
Leo. Natural hair color, nothing for Leo.
Enjoy being single. Okay.
All right, let's say hi to Corona's Jen. She's on line six. We're talking about deal breakers. This is good information, by the way. If you're out there looking for dates, listen to what these people are saying. Maybe this is what's keeping you out of a relationship. Jen, go ahead.
I just don't like loud chewers. I married a loud chewer, and then when he chews, I have to put my headphone Beats on so I don't have to hear him chew.
There's an actual, it's not a disease, but there's an actual physical thing where
there's a disorder.
Yeah, it's a disorder where people can hear other people chewing and it drives them out of their mind.
Yeah, that's like the ASMR kind of thing.
Sort of.
Yeah, you feel something more intensely. And
yes.
I only think this is funny because yesterday Allie looked at me while I was chewing and finally realized I have a click in my jaw. And she looked like she wanted to throw me through a window.
I had never heard it. And I was like, is that your jaw?
So I am out of Jen's life, which is okay because I am married.
All right. So chewing loudly is about
all right, thank
is a
you,
deal breaker. Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it in the food category and go to line seven, please. In Glendale, we say hi to Chris up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, Chris.
Morning.
Deal breaker.
If they're vegan.
Oh, interesting. In Los Angeles, that's a tough one.
Wait, why?
Because they never leave it at just being vegan. When I'm eating meat, they have to tell me how disgusting it smells to them.
Hmm. So you're saying they're judgmental towards your foods. They don't just, like, order their stuff and fine with it.
Right, yeah. If it was just something where they were having their food, I'm having my food, then it's fine. But, like, especially with vegans, with vegetarians, it's fine. But vegans will have to tell me, like, oh, yeah, now that I'm vegan, meat just smells so disgusting to me.
Right. But they keep doing that. That's what drives you crazy.
Hey, gotcha.
Not just once. Okay.
All right. Well, maybe think about that the next time you kill a cow. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being that person. Okay.
Let's go to Alex in La Puente. Good morning.
Good morning. My deal breaker is sharing my popcorn at the movie theaters after I asked if they want anything from the stand.
Oh, so so you get a popcorn. He doesn't want any. And then he starts
shares.
Eating yours.
Yes, yeah. I went on a date a couple years ago, and that's exactly what happened. And started eating my popcorn, and I'm looking at him for the corner, and I'm just like, are you serious? Couldn't enjoy the movie after that. I was just so over it. I wanted to leave, and I just felt bad, so I ended up staying for the rest of it. I was watching The Hobbit, so that was like, what, 3 hours?
Three hours. Now, I have to ask, is it an infringement on your personal space? Is it that they're disregarding your wishes because of the snack bar, or is it that you have some sort of a germ thing with their hands being in your food?
I think it's just the fact that, you know, I asked you beforehand.
Yeah.
And you say no.
That seems valid because you're saying, do you want popcorn? We can get some for you.
Yeah.
And then they say no, and then they start eating yours.
Yeah.
I think that's valid.
Right.
I guess it'd be just like in a restaurant if he passes on dessert, but then he's eating half of yours with a fork. All right.
Yeah, nibblers are bad.
Running out of time, but let's get to Jeff in Altadena. He's on line one. He says that he is a member of this beautiful people site, this dating site that we were talking about that has rejected 8.5 million people since they have been up and running. Is that true, Jeff?
Yes, that is true. I am a full-fledged member. Thank you.
Wow. And, I mean, a true celebrity.
And how is that working out for you? How have you found the quality of the dates that you've gone on, if any have happened?
And please end all answers with thank you.
Okay, this has been my experience. The girls are not as hot as you would think. However, the girls that I have been able to go out with have been spectacular.
Like,
oh my god!
Like you're saying, like hot hot as hell. But are they cool women? Or are they? I mean, like, are they? Do they bring anything else to the table?
They great personalities, smart, funny. They've been great. But
you haven't got on any dates, have you, Jeff? So do you have deal breakers?
I'm not into nose rings, and that has just never turned me on. And overweight, but you don't see a lot of overweight girls on beautifulpeople.com.
No, they get killed if you try, and they come to your house and they murder you. Yeah, they murder you.
Okay. Well, as they should be.
Oh, Jeff, you are a ringing endorsement for this terrible website.
As they should.
Billie Eilish on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. That song is called Bad Guy.
I listen to that album far too often than can be normal or healthy.
It's my favorite album of the year.
Me too.
Yeah.
I find myself putting it on multiple times a week, which these days where we're all just flitting from song to song and playlist to playlist, it's so rare to have an album that you just keep going back to.
I try not to flit.
But I love every song on it. All right, Kevin Abicho here on a Wednesday morning. Allie joins us for What is Happening?
Guys, 21 Pilots have reached quite the milestone on the Billboard 200 album chart. Their album, Blurry Face, remember that album?
Yeah.
Released May 17th, 2015.
Yep.
It's been on the charts for 4 years straight.
What's going on?
Wow.
Yeah, it's spent a total of 208 weeks on the chart, peaking at number one in early June 2015. And as of this week, still on there, number 147, but it has never dropped off. Here's the thing, though. It sold 4 million copies. Great. But every single track on the album has been certified at least gold, platinum, or double platinum. That's every single track on the album, making 21 Pilots the first band in history to achieve that accomplishment.
Yeah, they're massive.
Wow.
That's nuts.
And their online following is...
It's crazy,
It's unparalleled. Yeah, they have a huge, huge base.
But I kind of felt that their follow-up, what was it called, Trench, did not really get much traction. It seems like that one did not catch fire the way I expected it would.
It was certified gold.
I don't think you got the...
Sold half a million copies. Yeah. Definitely not
didn't
as much
hit,
as their
like,
first
yeah.
album.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we weren't talking about that album.
Right. They're popular. I get it.
They did well, but let me tell you about their failure.
You guys...
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
Thank you, indeed. Did you see this survey yesterday that was causing quite the stir on Twitter? People were very upset about the sexiest or most attractive accents in the U.S. Did you guys see it?
I did.
I did not.
I'm baffled.
I did not.
It's baffling. And here's the thing.
you see it, a tweet that says, Boston accent ranked second sexiest in America.
Oh, dear Lord, that can't be true.
To which most people's response, like Matt Fowler tweeted, did a Boston accent write this? A lot of other people's response was, oh, is number one every other accent? it makes no sense to me. I am the first to admit this is an ugly accent, you guys.
Sounds great.
All right.
Yep.
But Big 7 Travel surveyed its 1.5 million social followers and ranked them from most attractive to least attractive. What would you think would be the number one most attractive accent here in the U.S.?
Gilbert Godfrey.
I would think Southern.
I
would say Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, based on that international accent poll that we read recently, the Southern U.S. accent was tops in this country.
Well, coming in at number one, that Texas drawl, described as Southern, but with a twist. Number two, like I said, Boston. Number three,
that's ridiculous.
New York.
I'm already throwing...
I can't.
Are they
York?
Yeah.
They're trolling us, right?
They've got to be.
It's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
There's no way that's actual.
Yeah. Number four, Maine. Number five, Chicago. Six, Mississippi.
Is this the worst act? Are you sure this is the best act? Because it seems like the worst.
It is shocking. Okay. It is shocking. However, it did lead one of my favorite Twitter and Instagram follows, Alyssa Limperis, to send a video to NBC 10 in Boston because she, as a masshole, super pumped.
Yes, that's right. Boston just got named the second sexiest accent in all of America. And yes, that's true. And I know it's true because I voted 400 times for the survey. That's right. I took all my Boston Red Sox hats. I put them on. I pretended I was a different person. That's sexy. So's my accent. If you've seen my friend Charlene, please let me know. Last time I saw her was 2 weeks ago at a pub we were getting kicked out of. Boston.
Wow.
I love her so much.
That is very sexy. Wow.
She's the one, Bean, remember I sent you the video of the woman, she plays her mom in a ton of videos, and my favorite one is the mom that's getting ready to have the kids, like, up at the lake house.
Yes.
And she prepares for it. Her videos are some of my favorite things, but my God, Boston is not a pretty accent.
As somebody who spent time in Boston, Allie knows that's
it's awful. It's awful.
And everyone outside of Boston hates it.
And I find myself, because my parents are from Boston, all my aunts and uncles are in Boston, I'm the oldest of 38 grandkids in Boston, I find myself when I'm there...
Picking up, especially
if I'm having cocktails, I'm like, oh, this is a wicked party we're going to. Oh, my God, Charlene, let's go. You ready?
How bad is that going
to
be?
It's pretty bad. It's awful.
Do you aggressively try to correct that when you come back from
when
Boston?
I get on the plane, it's like, we got to have a talk, Allie, with your mouth.
Huh? Oh, thanks a lot.
Sorry, Kat's mom. But, I mean, she's delightful, right?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Guys, Angelica Houston, you know the actress Angelica Houston.
Big fan over here.
Yeah, she had a relationship with Jack Nicholson for about 15 years. And she was asked by Andy from Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen to describe her ex, Jack Nicholson, in three words. She then dropped the D-bomb and then specified very big. Right?
Right.
Don't you think he has big D energy?
I love big, fat, juicy pickles.
Yeah. I feel like he definitely... D energy. He has big D energy.
Big douchebag energy?
No. Oh.
Everybody wants an ex that will go on television brag about your unit.
Yeah, Pete Davidson has made a whole career out of it.
Yeah,
right?
Very true. Very true. But I could see it. I can't. But don't you think Jack Nicholson, you'd assume.
I would assume.
He was packing heat.
So?
Right? Just saying.
So.
It's great to have some backup on that. Hey, if George Clooney was going to give you acting advice about a role that you shouldn't take, would you listen to George Clooney?
I mean, I assume you would 100%.
Oh. Absolutely.
George Clooney from Facts of Life?
Yes.
Yeah, then probably I would probably follow it, yeah.
Well, George Clooney told Ben Affleck when the star asked him about playing Batman, don't do it. He said he learned the lesson the hard way himself in 1997's Batman and Robin. Clooney said that Arnold Schwarzenegger was paid, I think he was paid $25 million for that, which was like 20 times more than I was paid for. And you know, we never even worked together. We worked together for one day, but I took all the heat. Now, fair deal, I was playing Batman, and I wasn't good in it, and it wasn't a good film. But what I learned from that failure was that I had to rethink how I was working, because now I wasn't just an actor getting a role. He was being held responsible for a whole film, which Ben Affleck
does happen.
Has been held responsible for Batman, you know?
And he should be.
I didn't think he was that bad of a Batman.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Batman? You a Christian Bale guy?
Yes. I like the darker ones.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton is
a different direction, but I like him too.
Yeah.
May I just jump in and say there's only one Batman, and his name is Adam West.
Not arguing there. I think we were talking movies, but I agree.
Okay. All right. Yeah, movies.
back in the coffin.
Different.
Goodbye.
Let's talk some birthdays. We've got tennis star Andy Murray, sports announcer Dan Patrick, actress Jamie Lynn Sigler, and amazing producer Brian.
Last night, if you were on Twitter, you may have noticed that 9 out of the 10 U.S. trends involve the NBA draft lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular. Big, big night for basketball fans. And by the way, I don't want to run anybody away who doesn't care about the sport ball, because this is actually, this conversation is not going to really be about basketball as much as it's going to be about the great broadcaster, Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, sweet.
Who's amazing.
Yeah.
As we all know. Is there anyone on ESPN who's more of a love him or hate him personality?
I don't know.
There's not many love 'ems.
Yeah, maybe even in all of sports.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jensen, you know a lot more about this than I do. Essentially, the NBA draft lottery is you find out what order you're going to be able to pick from the new players coming into the league next month, right?
Yeah.
So you get to pick from the college players and, in some cases, high school players.
No high school anymore. Not yet.
That's right. They changed
college. Yeah, they're coming back. We got a couple years.
Okay, so in other words, your team has the opportunity to get the very best players if you draw a high enough number. And they actually do it like an actual money lottery.
Yes.
Little ping pong balls.
Yes, for the top four, you do lottery balls. Then the rest go in order of the worst team from that point on.
Now, Stephen A. Smith is a lifelong Knicks fan, and there was a lot of hope. They had a 14% chance of getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm. They were tied amongst
with Cleveland
three
and Phoenix.
Yep.
Right. Cleveland, Phoenix, and New York all had 14% chance of getting the number one pick. The New Orleans Pelicans had a 6% chance of getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's important to remember, because after we hear Stephen A. Smith before the draw, we'll hear Stephen A. Smith after the draw. So here he is freaking out, realizing that he's minutes away from finding out whether his Knicks have a chance to get the number one pick, which I think we all know at this point means Zion Williamson from Duke, who's a once-in-a-generation player.
Yes.
Right.
They're saying he's the best new player to be available in the draft at pick one, probably since Anthony Davis, right?
I would even say he's LeBron James. Yeah, I would say it's a step above that.
All right, so it changes your whole franchise. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
I mean, this is a good look, man.
What?
I am suffering. It's hard to take. How many years?
Now, again, nothing has happened yet, okay? This is just him getting nervous about how the draft is going to go, how the lottery is going to end up for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking. I'm talking to you as listeners of this radio show, as a native New Yorker. But I got to admit, Jonathan, John Winthrop, I'm talking to God himself. I need prayer. I need my prayers answered for just once. Please, please, please.
Does he know that there's a microphone in front of him?
Now, he wants to make sure you can hear him without it.
Yeah.
John Winthrop is his producer on his ESPN show. So he's pleading to God at this point. And by the way,
God hates the Knicks, by the way. I think we all know that.
Well, that's clear. That's clear from the last 50 years.
Right.
But, I think it's a good use of God's time, because all the problems have been solved.
I think now is a good time to also tell you that April 3rd, 2019, there was a Sports Illustrated article titled, Stephen A. Smith Contract, ESPN Will Boost Salary to $10 Million.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Might be time to let you know that.
Wow.
Well, whatever he's doing is working. All right, back to God.
Just one time when it comes to these Knicks. Last time the New York Knicks won a championship, I was 5 years old.
Move.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm 51. I was five.
By By the way, I have a lot of sympathy. There are many listeners who are long-suffering sports fans.
Of course.
Look, I'm a Seattle Mariners fan. They're one of two teams that has never even been to the World Series, okay?
Well, that's a poor choice, but go ahead.
So, and that's 20 years. That's only 20 years of me. Stephen A. Smith has lived with this since he was five.
I know the feeling. I'm a
Tillis fan.
Yeah,
yeah,
can't
exactly.
relate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, so. You can't at all, can you,
I was 5 years old. Do you understand the magnitude of my drama?
No.
He's not exaggerating.
No.
And damn it, I'm not just talking about myself. Huh? I'm talking about New York Knicks fans everywhere. We have suffered. We have suffered. And I understand everybody's not a Christian. You got Muslims out there. What? You got Jewish folks out there.
Okay, what's happening?
How do we get into religion immediately?
What's happening?
What just happened?
Wait.
You got Catholics out there. You might have Buddhists out there, for crying out loud. Everybody pray. If you are a Knicks fan, it is time to come together and get on our collective knees and point to a source higher than ourselves and say, my goodness, for one time, good Lord, please.
Yes, Kevin.
Could I just say again, I'm going to echo what Bean said, which is that God probably has higher priorities than the Knicks.
But if you, there are people who believe in God and that God is all-powerful and can multitask, can do everything. He can solve a hunger crisis and also get the Knicks a high draft pick.
But is it important to him to get the Knicks a high draft pick?
Well, I don't know.
He also already has answered the prayers of Zion Williamson here. So, you know, he can only give out so many.
Yeah. Right, true. Yeah.
Please, let us get the number one overall pick because the Knicks need something. Because if this doesn't happen, you know what's next, right?
What's that?
Suicide?
We're left. Because let me tell you something. Let me stop. Let me reel in myself emotionally.
Okay. Too late for that, but.
I'm trying to be cool.
Okay.
It's just hard. I'm tired of suffering.
So he's.
Wow.
Homeless and has cancer? Is that what's happening?
So
here?
Many. He's just feeding bean drops at this point.
He is, yeah.
Or is it just that his basketball team isn't good? All right, one more short clip. So this is after what happened where the New Orleans Pelicans got the first pick and, of course, went insane, as Jensen was just saying off the air. It's going to change the franchise forever because they're going to get Zion next
month. And the Knicks got number three, which is not a great pick. Number three, not a great pick for them. The worst-case scenario got them at five.
So now Smith is at home. After he's not even broadcasting at this point, Kevin. Mm. He's at home, sitting in his house, in the dark.
What? Okay. In the dark?
In the dark, yes. And I feel like we're about to see a man take his own life after what happened. And he is beaten like a donkey. Listen to this.
Damn! Damn it! Hmm? Damn it!
He's just an old man just shouting into the universe at this point. He can't believe what he just saw.
Typical Knicks, man. I knew it. They'd get close. They'd tease us. Then they wouldn't get it done.
Wait.
They didn't do anything.
Wait, yes. He's blaming the Knicks?
Yes. For their lottery ball.
Like
yes.
It's their
right.
fault?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, exactly. Yes. Okay. I think somebody needs to go check on Mr. Smith.
$10 million.
I'm fine if no one does.
Yeah.
I just feel like he may be too invested in his team. Perhaps he's making videos at home weeping in the dark after the lottery.
5 years old! 5 years old!
I'm suffering! Sometimes it pays to not be a sports fan, you guys.
Wow. That was rough.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it, too, but only because he's melting down.
5 years old! 5 years old!
Allie, you love it, too?
I despise that man with every part of my being. And hearing him suffer,
it makes me happy, but I also wish it was more. Yeah.
Not enough. They should have gotten no draft.
By the way, if you love that song like we do and you would like to enjoy it at the beach, you can. June 8th at the K-Rock Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party. Lumineers are on the bill, along with 311, Silver Sun Pickups, Catfish and the Bottlemen, Ex-Ambassadors, The Regrets, and more. We're going to be giving away tickets in about half an hour, 30 to 35 minutes from right now. You get a chance to earn your way in. You can also go to K-Rock.com for your chance to win VIP passes and a hotel stay. Good luck.
All right, listen.
There it is.
So it's coming down to an end.
Mm-hmm. One more episode.
One more episode.
Right, and we've been on it since the beginning, Kevin. You and I were the early adopters for the Game of Thrones.
I mean, before it was cool, before anyone else noticed it.
Before the show aired, we said, trust us on this. It's going to be the biggest show in the world. You guys have to watch it, or...
And then no one else watched it except for Bean and I.
We were the only ones. We were just flying that flag this whole time. Or we just started watching it this season. One of those two is true. But I will tell you, even though I am not as invested as people like our friend Dave the King of Mexico, who joins us in studio, who has been there since day one,
yes.
I am enjoying the hell out of this season.
Can I interrupt?
Yes, please.
Have you watched the whole season, or did you start about three episodes in?
I watched, Dave or me?
You! I swear to God, you and Kevin have only watched, like, three shows.
No, I've watched every episode this season.
I don't know.
Which is only, like, five episodes
so far.
I swear
How far behind could we be?
I swear you joined in halfway through this season.
No. I've watched every episode this season.
Don't be ridiculous. It's just the final season.
So we were late to the party. But that doesn't mean we're not excited about how it all ends. Who ends on the Iron Throne? And I have been fascinated to watch because, you know, there are betting sites. Like Oddshark, for instance, is a betting site where you can go and you can put money down on who ends up on the Iron Throne. And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're on the Iron Throne, that means you rule all the seven worlds, right?
All seven kingdoms, yes.
Kingdoms, right. Okay. Now, right now, the odds-on favorite is the kid in the wheelchair.
Bran, yes.
Bran, whose eyes roll back in his head and he goes someplace,
I'm going
to
leave now.
That's it. Now, why do you suppose that is, Dave? You're far more familiar with the actual character development of all of these players involved through eight seasons. Why Bran all of a sudden? Why is he hot?
You know, I don't know why Vegas thinks that he's going to get it. Because, one, he has no claim to the throne. But he's also the Three-Eyed Raven, which... He's not Bran anymore. He even said it himself. I am no longer Bran. I am the Three-Eyed Raven. So I don't know what Vegas is thinking.
Hmm. All right, so you disagree with that. Now, there are a lot of people, this may be a spoiler alert if you have not watched any of this season. There are a lot of people who say since it has been revealed that Jon Snow is actually
the rightful heir
to the throne.
Yeah, Aegon.
Instead of his girlfriend, right, Khaleesi.
His auntie.
that he needs to be on the Iron Throne, no matter how much he protests that he doesn't want it. But did you sense in last week's episode, like I did, that he's starting to rethink that policy once he sees what a nutter his girlfriend is?
Yeah, there is a scene where he's just looking at her going, oh my God, what did I get into? By the way, this is all Jon Snow's fault. You know that, right?
Well, we don't know anything about it. What do you mean? Why is it Jon Snow's fault?
Because... You know, Daenerys wanted to make out with him, and all he had to do was make out with her and show her love, and so she could rule with love. But no, he backed away, and she's like, fear then. And then, boom, this happened. So, way to go. Way to go, Jon Snow.
Way to go, Jon. A-hole.
All you had to do was make out with your aunt one more time, and she would have been cool.
So, what do you think is going to happen?
Me?
Is this one of those shows where they did, like, two or three endings so no one knows?
They said did. They filmed a couple of them.
I would assume so, right?
Yeah. I think it's going to be Jon Snow because just like when he was the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell us, right?
Yeah. You guys know this.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want that either.
Right.
But, you know...
If the people demanded.
They voted for him and he took it unwillingly. The same thing with the King of the North. He didn't want to do that either. But then they voted for him. And, you know, all his people are dead now.
So that didn't work out so well.
No, not so much. And he left it for Sansa. So now she's the Lady of the North. But, you know, I think it's going to be Jon Snow. And he's going to rule.
But let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Because he's the rightful heir.
Yeah.
Isn't that sort of too easy? Like, isn't that sort of they've already been...
Making it obvious.
Yeah, it's too obvious.
Well,
do you think you'll just go, okay, it's been, you guys have known all along, it's John, and so it's John.
You know, listen, I don't want to be that guy, but, you know, this season, as you guys know, as you've been watching since the beginning.
Like crazy.
Hasn't been the best one because they're rushing everything. So I think this is the logical conclusion, and it's going to give everybody with what they want, and they're going to be like,
it's just
going to
be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. The whole show was amazing, and the ending is going to be fine because there's no way they could end it that's going to make everybody happy.
Well, okay, there's no way you could end any show to make
everybody
happy.
Exactly, yeah.
But there have been shows that successfully end a series.
I'd like to say Veep made everybody happy.
That a lot
I'd like
of
to say that was a great ending.
Yeah, 6 Feet Under made everyone happy.
I mean, I don't know happy, but you know.
Yeah, Dawson's Creek made everyone happy when Joey didn't end up with Dawson. That was great.
All right.
Okay,
stay on target. Stay on target. We're going to take some phone calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. We want to know what you want to happen and also what you think is going to happen. I think we're looking for both of those.
Both.
Now, I would have thought two episodes that Arya, it's Arya, right?
Arya,
I would have thought that once she killed the Night King, I would have thought, oh, she's so badass now, everybody's going to want her to rule things because of how she saved the world, essentially. But there doesn't seem to be much buzz on her right now.
Yeah, she don't want it, man. Just like all the Starks, they don't want it.
But here's what I'll say to you, Bean. That's how shows go, is that she was the star of that episode.
Right.
Has gone underground. No one's thinking about her.
Boom!
Final episode, throne.
Thrown penis, right.
You've been thrown.
And by the way, Allie made a great point earlier today, offhanded, that moment with Arya and the white horse. Mm-hmm. And I always say, if you're going to ride, don't ride the right pony.
File that. You go straight to hell.
She thought that looked like they were setting something special up there with her riding off into the distance on that horse.
I have it, you guys.
You have it?
I have it.
You do?
Oh, okay. We're all guessing. You have it?
Yes.
Okay.
Nobody will get to sit on the Iron Throne because the Iron Throne literally has been destroyed by the dragon and figuratively has been destroyed by all of the infighting between the Starks and the Lannisters.
Whoa.
But the person who finally comes around... Sansa.
Really?
She swoops in last minute and she's like, it's me, yo.
Does she say it that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched the show not a lot, but it doesn't seem like they use that language.
With the period.
Okay.
But literally, no throne. And then they're like, oh, Sansa.
Well, Daenerys. Daenerys always wanted to be the breaker of the chain and the wheel and everything. Mm-hmm. So she might have done it, not knowingly, just by killing everyone else.
Oh, what if somebody that has never seen an episode just came up with the ending?
No,
that's really smart,
by the way. Thank you.
And then Sansa orders another cup of Starbucks coffee. Just to infuriate the internet. All right. So who do you want to see on the Iron Throne at the end of next week's episode of Game of Thrones? That's what we're talking about here. If you want to chat with a couple of experts, like Kevin and Bean, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on camera.
Just had a blink. Let's take one phone call. Is it Ubel? Uble? Ubel? Ubel?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like you'll answer to anything.
All of the above.
We are talking about who should end up on the Iron Throne on this Sunday night's finale of Game of Thrones. We all have our own theories. I think Allie's got the best theory so far. What say you?
So this is a bit controversial, but I honestly believe it's going to be Samwell Tarly.
The nerd?
The nerd, yes.
Why?
Everyone knows the nerd. Everyone knows at the end of the day, the nerd gets...
Right?
Gets the crown.
The meek shall inherit the earth. It's in the Bible,
boom.
Man.
Boom.
So yes, it is.
He is smart and well-liked, but is he well-known outside of his own tribe?
He's not, but I think with the knowledge that he possesses and his story arc, I can see it ending with him sitting in the Iron Throne. Plus, the Iron Throne's pretty big. It needs a pretty big person to sit in.
Okay.
All right. Fat shaming him.
Wow. How about that?
All right. So you need a fat guy in a big chair. All right. We got it. Go right to Vegas and put your money down on that. Thank you for the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on who needs to be on the Iron Throne when the show ends Sunday right after Blink 182. on K-Rock. All right, before we get back to your calls on who should rule and the Seven Kingdoms and sit on the Iron Throne at the end of Game of Thrones, Allie, what are you hearing?
Although I like mine the best, Tim Drake. Tim Drake says, I'm hoping nobody ends up on the throne. My prediction has been they all end up getting killed. The final shot is an empty throne. Camera pulls out over the bodies, leaving Westeros to become a lost kingdom. Fingers crossed. Tim, I don't hate it.
So he wants everyone to die?
Yes.
So then it says, everyone loses the game.
Jesus.
I don't hate it, though.
May I suggest, and maybe I'm still a little bit upset about the way Jon Snow went south and left his dog behind without even petting him on the head. May I suggest I wouldn't mind seeing a little ghost on the throne at the end of all of this?
Well, ghost let doggy?
Let ghost dog rule things. He needs love, too. No? No love? Okay.
No.
1-800-520-1067. I'm fascinated by the people I've never heard of that they want to see on the throne. Let's take one of those. Let's make it Sarah Line 5, please, calling from Canoga Park.
Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
You've given this some thought. Who would you like to see on the Iron Throne?
Well, I liked Allie's theory a lot, actually, and that kind of makes sense because they still have to tie in the North. But a person who could be on the Iron Throne that would be very random and fans would hate it, actually, would be Gendry, the dude that Arya had sex with.
Oh, that's the dude she had sex with. Okay.
I feel like he gave her superpowers because they had sex and all of a sudden she's killing dudes, right?
Yeah, she's a badass.
And now he's a... And now he's a lord. Daenerys made him a lord.
That's true.
Because he is a Baratheon, half Baratheon, he does, after Jon, have a rightful claim to the throne.
Okay, that's an interesting theory, but do you think the show would do something that the fans would hate, as you explained?
No, but who knows at this point? There's so many things going around.
Yeah, and they're just throwing everything against the wall.
See, she's now with Tim.
By the way, yeah. Gendry's well liked. By the way, you know, like he was a good character who survived getting murdered by Robert. I think people would enjoy Gendry on the throne.
Okay, all right, great call, Sarah. We appreciate it. Let's go back to one of the favorites. Let's talk to Josh in Anaheim, Line 6. I'd like to hear his defense of Arya being on the throne when it's all said and done. Josh, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Sure. What do you think?
Let's see. I think Arya will be killing Daenerys and putting Jon on the Iron Throne because Arya, after all, is now the Queen of Death. And what do we say to death?
Not today.
Not today. So she will be killing Daenerys and putting Jon on the Iron Throne.
But why does she not want to be on the Iron Throne?
Yeah, I think she's a strong enough woman to be like, beat it, Jon Snow.
Exactly.
You know nothing.
Because Arya's not a lady. We got to remember that. She's the killer. She's an assassin. She doesn't like parties. She doesn't like any of that stuff.
She's still a lady, Josh.
She doesn't want to be one. Nope, she said no.
She doesn't want to be that, so we got to respect that. So she... all she's there is to protect Jon, her really half brother, who gave her Needle. So
that
she has
is
her back.
Interesting. That is interesting. Yes. And by the way, one of the great things about this episode is going to be to see the fallout of Daenerys' actions last week and how people are going to be totally looking at her differently. Even people who have been 100% in her corner are just like, you're a monster at this point. We just can't get behind you. So I think it's a wide open field. Arya is as good a guess as any. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate the call, sir.
John.
1-800-520-1067. All right, let's go back to another wild card. Let's make it Eric Thousand Oaks, another character I have never heard of.
Morning, Eric.
Morning.
Who's going to be on the throne?
That's a good one. It's going to be Tormund Giantsbane.
Yes. I could see this.
The giant milk drinker.
Yeah, I could see the wildling coming to help Jon overthrow everybody, and then when everyone dies, he's the last one standing, and since he's the leader of the free people, boom, and then...
Is Tormund the one who's in love with the big lady?
Yes.
He's
the one that...
And could be a queen.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, he's Justin Turner.
So
he's Justin Turner on the show.
Danny's going to fly around, destroy the... She's going to go straight north, take out everyone, and fly back to the only person that loves her in Essos. What was his name? I'm blanking on his name, I think,
Frank.
Everybody...
Frank, is that Frank?
Back, the only guy that still loves me.
Milton.
And I don't remember his name, dang it. But either way, Tormund Giantsbane, that's the guy.
Okay,
plus,
all right.
Plus, milk for everyone.
Right?
Right?
Why not? Right. By the way, I'd like to go to line five, because line five has my answer, which I thought was going to be awesome.
All right.
And I didn't think anyone would come up with it. But Belle in Costa Mesa, hi.
Hi, everyone. So I think it's going to be the dragon with a glass of water to his left to cool his parched throat.
Boom!
Well,
the dragon is on the throne.
First of all, the dragon rules and nobody can stop him because the dragon can kill it. Second of all, I'm glad you shared my concern with how much they overdid the fire last week. Give the dragon a drink of water.
Oh, I love it.
Welcome to 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
5 minutes from right now, we'll give you your tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party June 8th at Doheny. You'll have to earn them. We'll tell you how right after Allie's What's Happening.
This just in from Variety Senior Editor Michael Schneider. Adult Swim has revealed that Rick and Morty Season 4 returns in November.
Yes.
Yay!
That's a great show.
So congratulations, everyone. And now... a breaking news bulletin.
She already said it.
That
story's done.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
I did it. It's Rick and Morty. We'll be back on Adult.
Live, local, late breaking.
Adult Swim in November. That's it.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
Sure, it's season 4 of Rick and Morty in November.
This is London calling. Here is a news flash.
Rick and Morty season 4.
Why are you doing it?
I like it. You can have it.
Why are you doing it when we have an expert?
You guys, I don't know what to think about this, but Ariana Grande is being sued for posting her own paparazzi photos. In a lawsuit filed in New York on Monday, photographer Robert Barbera alleges that the singer violated copyright law by posting photos that he took of her and she posted to Instagram.
I think he's right.
Well, this is a big argument in that
he
world.
He has ownership of that if he took the picture, right?
Well, yes, technically, but it's kind of a gray area.
It's of her
right
out in the wild.
Right.
She didn't okay the picture. I think if it's a picture of her from Vanity Fair magazine, that's one thing. But if it's another, I don't know.
No, if it's in a public, I know this, unfortunately. You know who's really heavy on this is that girl, Ariel Winter, in Modern Family.
Mm-hmm. So Modern Family.
She's like a big proponent. She posts all of them. She doesn't care. She said, sue me, it doesn't matter. But if you're in public and they take a photo of you, they own the photo.
Okay.
So
you don't, even if they took it of you.
No.
Right.
So they can post any sort of like candid out in the wild photo and they own the rights to it. So if you post it on Twitter or Instagram, they can go after you for it.
Well, she posted a picture of her. It was on the day that she released her album Sweetener, and it was her carrying a sweetener bag. She posted the picture on Instagram and wrote Happy Sweetener Day and got 4 million likes. And in the suit, Barbera says he wants to be compensated with either the profits that she earned from the photo or $25,000 for each pic, whichever amount is greater.
So dumb. These people, I mean, this is what you do for a living, you moron. Like, these people take photos of you out in the wild without you knowing, then don't allow you to use them. It's so creepy.
Well, I think if she gave the guy's name, I don't think it would be an issue.
Sort of, but not.
Meaning photo credit, you mean?
Yeah, but they've also went after people for that.
Really?
Yeah, because you have to pay a licensing fee for a photo that you don't own. But social media is a gray area.
This is all very suspect. Yeah,
we interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
Oh, Rick and Morty season 4 returns in November.
It was 5 minutes ago. It was just 5 minutes ago.
Adult Swim.
And now, for another fast-breaking news story, we take you to Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog here.
Hey, guys. It's me, Rick and Morty, back in November.
Well, I found that funny. I would like to hear Ellie's impression.
Kermit the Frog here.
Pretty good.
Thank you. I was just doing Jensen.
Yeah.
So
here, want to have a convo?
A little bit.
So what was the breaking news?
Kermit the Frog here. Adult Swim reveals Rick and Morty Season 4 returns November 2019.
Good news.
We have suffered.
That's fantastic.
Have we suffered?
I'm tired of suffering.
Okay, well, sorry about that.
Damn
here's,
it!
Here's something that you won't be suffering about because it involves Sweet Zach. According to a rumor from English tabloid Mirror, a recent Marvel-related leak has revealed that Zac Efron has been cast to star as Adam Warlock in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The introduction of Adam Warlock was previously teased in the post-credit scene of Guardians Volume 2. And if you don't know who Adam Warlock is, he made his first appearance in an issue of Fantastic Four way back in 1967, where he was created to be the, quote, perfect being.
Shut up and take my money!
Which makes perfect sense if Zac Efron is indeed playing someone that was created to be the perfect being. Am I right, Bean? Am I right?
First of all, you're absolutely right. Second of all, I just got suddenly sad knowing that we won't have Stan Lee cameos in the movies going
forward. Was the last one in Endgame, I heard. Endgame.
Yeah. Just got suddenly sad just thinking about that because he created this character.
They should. I've said this before, but they should pass a casket, and he should be in the casket in the next one.
I don't know that that's necessary.
I thought that would be cool.
That's dark.
I just think it's a cool final cameo. Laying him to rest.
Let me tell you what. That's legendary, my boy.
Okay. Thank you. Thinks it's legendary.
Hey, if you're an actor, how stoked are you when you get that call to be in a superhero movie?
Yeah, like, of course.
It's
of
basically course. The lottery win.
You're done.
Yeah.
You can
six
you
or
can
seven
retire.
Of them. Yeah. Dreams.
I mean... Yeah.
Dreams.
If only you had a wife who was an actress, Jensen. I feel like you should be making some calls.
I got to get her
behalf.
Out there. I know. I got to get her out there.
Listen, you want her in a superhero movie. All I want is for her to be in a Hallmark Christmas movie. That is my dream for Danielle, and I don't know why she's not doing it for me. Adult Swim reveals Rick and Morty Season 4 returning November 2019. Some birthdays for you. Jamie Lynn Sigler, Dan Patrick, Andy Murray, and Brian Eno. And that's what's happening.
All right, K-Rock, Weenie Roast, Luau, and Beach Party, June 8th at Doheny. You've been hearing about it. Now you can win your way in. We're looking for you. What do we need to say about this? Well, we're playing Total Recall. We can tell you that, right?
Yeah, but should we tell them the twister?
Yeah, yeah. Total Recall, except we're going to be playing it. The cast members here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so you'll have the opportunity to guess whether we will succeed or not. So we're going to be looking for you to kind of place your bet on us to perform for you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game. Someone wins the tickets. Jensen, put your phone away. We're on the radio.
I just did.
Right?
What's happening?
Professional. And we're on Instagram Live right now on the Kevin and Bean Instagram account, all right? Mm-hmm. We have often said in the years that we've been doing this show that we would never win any of the contests that our listeners win to win concert tickets.
Correct. Every single time. There's no way I would win tickets from this station. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even call.
I am not qualified
to
play any of these games. So we're going to prove it to you right now because we are going to do the cast edition of Total Recall, meaning that we'll spin a wheel, it'll land on one of the members of the Kevin Bean Show, and then all you have to do is guess whether yes or no this person will be able to name 10, in 10 seconds, three items. All right, so you're ready for a special edition for the Weenie Roast of Kevin Bean's Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the Weenie and Luau. Oh, yeah! Total Recall, the Weenie Roast at the beach. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah!
Mugs, you don't have to air drum to that.
I love doing air drumming. Yeah.
That's happening.
All right, so let's just take the calls in order, and then we spin the wheel, and randomly we will assign each person to the game. Who's up first?
All right, first up is Ken in Encino. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, guys, what's up?
All right, Ken, we're going to spin the wheel and find out who's going to be playing for you. Again, it doesn't matter whether they get it or not. It's just a question of whether you've correctly guessed whether they will get it or not. Who's it land on?
Unfortunately, me.
Yeah! Oh! Kevin is up first. What do you think, sir? Will he be able to name three items in 10 seconds?
I'm going to go with no.
Outstanding. Seems like even
that's
money.
Where the smart money is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I love that you didn't have to spend much time thinking about that answer either.
Well,
all right, here
Kevin.
We go. Kevin, you're playing for Ken. Do your
so
best.
So wait, let me
right?
just say, if I get If I get less than three, Ken wins, right?
That's
goes
right.
into the drawing. Okay.
Right. Yeah, but just like in
I'm
the NBA,
throw it.
You don't tank it, man. You don't tank it. No. You still play to your little heart's content. All right. Having nothing to do with the band, I think, Lumineers are actually a brand of veneers that you can put on your teeth to improve your smile. In 10 seconds, Kevin, tell me three other things besides putting in veneers that a dentist might do for you. 10 seconds. Go.
Fillings? Cleanings? Remove teeth, right?
Technically, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But that means Ken lost.
Ken lost. I'm sorry. He should have had a little more confidence in his man.
Ken, I'm sorry that I was so good. I really am.
You could have gone with putting on or replacing a crown, taking off braces.
I named three,
cavities.
Dude.
No, you were great.
Okay.
I'm just saying you did a great job. All right, who's next?
Next is Kimberly in Covina. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning.
Let's find out who's going to be playing for you.
And this would be Jensen.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
Kimberly, what say you?
All you have to say, yes, okay, you'll think you'll get it.
The pressure I didn't need.
From Omaha, Nebraska, the band 311 have been frequent guests at K-Rock shows and as guests on the Kevin and Bean show as well, especially guitarist and singer Nick Hexum and their bassist Peanut. Besides peanuts, Jensen, please name three other kinds of nuts in 10 seconds. Good luck, please.
Macadamia, pistachio, almond.
Look at that. Look at that.
2 seconds.
I'm the nut guy. Everyone knows that. When you see me, you think nut.
Kimberly, you are in the drawing to win the Weenie Rose tickets. Well played.
Congratulations. All right, let's go to Ezekiel in Irvine. Good morning.
What's going on, guys? Let's get some tickets.
What's going on?
Let's get some tickets.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Good question.
And you get beer mug.
Yeah!
You get beer mug.
All right, Bugs.
I have full faith in your beer mug.
All right, Ezekiel.
So you're saying yes?
You're saying yes. Okay.
That's a yes.
Good man. Good man. Bugs, you're feeling good?
Feeling great.
In honor of the Silver Sun Pickups playing the Weenie Rose this year, can you name any three of the six car companies who make any of the top 10 best-selling pickup trucks in America? Name three of the companies that make among the best-selling pickup trucks in America in 10 seconds. Go.
Ford, Chevy, Nissan.
Look at you.
A second and a half.
Impressive.
He beat
wow.
Jensen's record.
Pretty I'm good. The truck guy. When you want to see trucks, you come to me.
There's also a GMC, Toyota, and Ram are the others. But congratulations to the caller. You are also in the drawing, Ezekiel, to win those tickets. Well done.
All right, let's go to Roman in La Habra. Good morning.
What's going on, guys? The fact that Kevin got it right means that this whole game is rigged.
Good point. Fair.
I'm with Roman. I think he's right. All right, here we go.
Find out who you'll be playing with.
And it's beer mug again.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Is that allowed?
It's awesome.
It's okay. The wheel, dude. The wheel.
I guess so.
Makes all right, choices for us.
All right. The Revivalists are back on the bill at this year's Weenie Roast. And if you don't
know. Not yet. It's not fair.
I'm just kidding.
And if you don't know the word, revivalist is someone who leads a religious service, which makes it a good time to think of any three religions out of all of those in the world. And I will allow splinter faiths as well. So you're looking to name three religions. In the next 10 seconds, go with God. Good luck.
Yes.
Christianity, Islam, Judaism.
Look at that. He's a master.
Ooh, I mean,
wow.
When you think of religion.
All right, Roman, you're in the drawing. Well done.
All right.
Time for another. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's go to Lisa in Irvine. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi, Lisa. Let's spin the wheel for you. See how lucky you feel.
And you get Dave the King of Mexico.
Mm.
All right.
Dave the King of Mexico.
Great. I want to be the one.
By the way, I would like to just point out that for the most part, this game was five things in 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're cheating. Okay. Yes or no, Lisa?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Oh, coming all the way from Wales, Dave, we have Catfish and the Bottlemen on the Weenie Roast June 8th, which got me to think about all the delicious catfish meals that I've had down in Louisiana. Besides catfish, please name three other fishes that you could have for dinner tonight. Three fishes you can eat for dinner. 10 seconds, go.
Salmon, tilapia, and let's say trout.
Trout is correct. Yes.
skin of his teeth.
How about that?
He had a weird calmness, by the way.
I was
creeped out by it.
It was like he had 20 and he was just trying to figure out which one to pick.
No, I was trying to count 9. I wanted to wait until the last moment.
And he forgot kale. That's a fish, right?
Yeah.
I've heard that, yes. All right, I'm sorry to say we only have time to register one more person.
All right, let's go to Nigel in Westwood. Good morning, Nigel.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You get Allie McKay.
Oh, yeah.
Allie McKay. All right. So, yes or no, Nigel?
Someone's got to miss it, so I'm going to go with
You're going to go with no.
Wow. Just hang up now.
The last guy that said no lost. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. By the way, I'm very impressed with how all of you have done in this
game. Because we're great.
Total geniuses.
We're amazing.
All right, Allie, here's your question. Whether you call them punk rock or riot girls, one of the highlights of the show this year will certainly be Los Angeles' own Regrets. Time to leave it all out on the table. In 10 seconds, please list for me 3 of your regrets in life.
Wow. One that I started shaving way too early. Another one, I started dyeing my hair. Third one, I have no ovaries anymore.
And Liz Winter.
Wow. Thank you. But, thank you.
But
she went from
said no.
Yeah, Nigel said no.
Suck it, Nigel.
We are not making room for Nigel then in the drawing. Kimberly, however, come on, though.
No, by the way, file that one.
Yeah. Kimberly, Ezekiel, Roman, and Lisa all are still in the running to win their tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, Luau, and Beach Party, but only one can win with this edition of Total Recall. Who is it, please?
Congrats on the fish, Lisa.
Lisa, how about that? Lisa, congratulations. Lisa,
congratulations. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for playing the game.
Yeah, congrats on the fish.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
By the way, there are a lot of reasons that we send you to the Kevin and Bean social media. Of course, you can win Weenie Rose tickets at KROQ.com. We got that up there. The T-shirt battle is something that we do every day on our Twitter and our Instagram. And tomorrow, Jensen, are you ready for the battle T-shirt Royale?
It is the World Series of T-shirt battle.
Oh, it is. Really? Now, what's making it this way?
We're both.
You've been doing it every day for
basically
all year.
Beginning of the year.
All year. Okay.
I think tomorrow we're both bringing out heavy hitters.
And neither of you know what the other one is.
Uh-uh.
You just know that this is your good one, and he knows this is his good one.
It's a big win. Yeah, we're going to see.
So it's ace against ace. You're really brave. Okay. Mm-hmm. Does this end it?
No.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Unfortunately, Bean just got to Seattle where he has hundreds of other shirts in a box. So
it's not going to end it, but Jensen is going to be bloodied and crying at the end of tomorrow's show.
Well, I think mine is honestly going to make Bean never wear a shirt again.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is that something we won?
Yeah, I know. I do have to think about it.
So we do put up a T-shirt challenge every day on the Kevin Bean social media because Jensen and I are both fascinated with T-shirts.
I would like to say this, that I do know what Bean's is, and my money's on him.
Whoa.
Whoa.
But I don't know what yours is. So.
Early money. Yeah. Early money. Okay. Yeah, from Vegas.
Yep.
Okay. So that'll be tomorrow right here on K-Rock, and you can check out today's battle on the social media as well. First, though, Allie, before we say goodbye, how about one more look at what's happening?
How about a Game of Thrones live concert experience, you guys? It is all going down. You have your choice by calling in right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take caller 20. You have your choice of seeing it at Five Point Amphitheater. That's not it. That's a dog. On October 4th or the Hollywood Bowl on October 5th. So winner's choice. You get to see Game of Thrones live concert experience. Good luck.
You're all welcome. I played this song so that Bean would not play the cats.
I have a standing by as soon as this is over.
Oh, no, but I still have the music. It's still going on.
Is this
going
to play through all of
what's happening? Yes, we're going to have to go through the whole thing.
You'll be happy you called. I guarantee it.
Excellent. Guys, do you want to peek into the Cure singer Robert Smith's personal playlist?
Sure.
Well, you might just find some clues in the lineup for the first ever Pasadena Daydream Festival. It is a festival curated by the band. They did this last year called the Meltdown Festival in London.
Eventually, your music's going to run out.
It's not.
I'm going to be ready.
I like to imagine me just standing over the button.
I've got my finger on the cats as soon as there's an opening.
Finger on the Cats is a pretty good band name.
Oh, just sorry. Oh. Okay. All right.
I had a split second.
I rule.
I rule.
All right, Robert Smith, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. It's a huge show happening on August 31st, site of the past Arroyo Seco weekend festivals. It's happening at the Rose Bowl. This lineup is bonkers. It's The Cure. It's The Pixies. Deftones. Throwing Muses. Chelsea Wolfe. Twilight Sad. And more, you guys.
Sounds great.
It sounds unbelievable.
I would go there for The Cure alone.
Absolutely.
Great album. Great album. Uh-huh. I didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
Which album?
I think Disintegration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. General Assembly tickets? What?
Close.
Join the government.
General admission.
General admission, 150 plus fees, VIP, $300, and they go on sale Friday at noon, you guys.
Oh! Where did... Oh, it's a real battle.
Oh, yeah.
It's a battle.
Oops.
Step up. Step up. Who wins? Cats or the normal theme? Oh, I hear it's in the background.
Yeah, a little taste of Cat.
It's just... Oh, I don't know who wins this.
I think original wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin is standing over it like he's...
Like he's a DJ.
Yeah, like he's Aoki.
No, I'm riding Bean very low so you can't hear the cats.
Okay.
Killed my cats.
What?
I don't appreciate it. All right, let's end the Game of Thrones battle and get back to what Allie's doing. We're using up all of her time.
I want to hear more about Kevin riding Bean.
That was an unfortunate
it really was.
Way to describe it.
By the way, I faked you out.
No!
Did you now?
He runs the controls. It's no
yes!
He had him.
Yeah.
He had him.
So close. Out. So close. You guys, there's a reboot of All That. You know about that? No. 90s era sketch comedy series broke stars like Kenan Thompson, Amanda Bynes, Nick Cannon.
I don't know that.
Yeah, All That.
People love that show.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. The new version will feature a brand new tween cast, and it's going to debut on June 15th. And then Aaron, that's time slot going forward. The premiere will feature original cast members Kel Mitchell, Lori Beth Denberg, and Josh Server. Former cast member Kenan Thompson is going to executive produce the series. It's going to open up with the three imparting their advice to the new cast, which is kind of the passing of the baton. And then, as if that's not enough, the Jonas Brothers are going to close the show with the performance of Sucker. I mean,
do you care?
It's loaded, you guys.
I'm excited about All That, but will they throw in a bag of chips?
So Jesus. Dumb. Really?
That's
no that's clapping.
You don't get to play your own clapping sound effects.
No. I would have liked to see Amanda Bynes come back here, but we still wait.
We wait.
Yeah.
Guys, ABC is reviving the comedy variety show Kids Say the Darndest Things next season. And taking over for Bill Cosby, because he's busy, will be comedian Tiffany Haddish.
Would have been funny if they still went with Bill Cosby, though.
Good God.
I would have tuned in.
Yeah, they're calling it a reimagined take. The new version will feature a mix of in-studio segments, tape pieces from around the country, all set in front of a live studio audience. Some planned segments include Kids Rule, where kids explain to Tiffany Haddish the rules of everything from sportsmanship to dating. Love Talk, she seeks advice on her love life. Best Carpool Ever, where she'll drive a carpool. And then Granny Tiff, where she wears prosthetics receives technology tips from kids. Oh, my God. Why is this happening?
That's Madea, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a lot, you guys. It is just, it's just a lot.
You never go full Madea.
I have read that. You know how everybody says, men think about sex constantly? Apparently,
yes.
Not the case, according to a survey from Illicit Encounters, which is a dating site for married people. Good times. They found that 64% of British men think about soccer more than they think about sex.
British, though, that's a huge thing.
But don't you think in America that would equate to football here?
Maybe.
Americans are horn dogs, Allie.
Do you think we're hornier than other countries?
Oh, certainly more than Britain.
But I think the Britain has fewer sports, too.
True.
It's all
and
about
also
soccer.
Way less sex though.
They are correct. They are kind of a repressed kind of people.
Yes, very much so. You've heard that. I mean, they even made a play on a book about it called "No Sex, Please, We're British."
But what about, like, when I think about, like, sexy, yeah, we're going to do it up. I think of, like, maybe Brazilians. They're doing it
a lot,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the Spanish and the French.
Yes. Brazilians are doing it while watching, though, football.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Both
they're
same time.
Multitaskers.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think, if I remember correctly from the studies I've seen, that French couples have the most sex of anywhere in the world.
All right.
Yeah. Good times. All right. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the survey that just said, whatever. Right? Who's with me?
Right.
76% say the myth that men with large feet or hands will have a bigger penis is false. So say the men with small feet and small hands, I assume.
100% of us with large feet say it's true.
You agree with it. Okay. 12% of men confirm that eating oysters gets them in the mood. I don't think that's true. I think it's you just say as you're having oysters, like, oh, look at us. We're having oysters. You know what's happening later. It's just you put it in motion because it's talked about so much that oysters make you horny.
Also, I think men are always horny. So
yeah, I think that happens.
Could be you could substitute any food there and it would be fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Women also busted some myths. Just 18% say they've orgasmed multiple times during sex.
Oh, yeah.
And here's something sad. 80% of women say the G-spot doesn't exist. Again, these are British women.
Did you say 80%?
Yes, and I think, someone needs to show you, ma'am. Because that's just sad.
You should go on a tour.
It's steamy in here.
Should I go do a TED Talk in England?
TED Talk.
And be like, G-spot, let me show you.
Let's all have sex.
Well, Kevin, that's a lot. Right.
Stop rubbing making because it's so stiff.
That was a weird remix.
Everywhere.
All right. Oh, no. This is bad. This is bad. I don't like it. Well, I mean, it was my TED Talk. I did a pretty good job.
Like you could probably sell out everywhere you went.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
You should totally do this.
Thank you. Here you go.
Right.
Some birthdays for you. We have got producer extraordinaire, musician extraordinaire, Brian Eno, Jamie Lynn Sigler, Dan Patrick, and tennis star Andy Murray all celebrating birthdays, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. 5 p.m. commercial-free hour is happening. Thanks to a random... You try to throw me off every day with that, don't you? Thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Get up on this with Jensen. We have a theater etiquette, which there seems to be a huge problem with. I'm not exactly sure why, but no one cares about anyone else.
I have things to talk about.
And also...
I'm tired of suffering.
Huh? He's tired of suffering.
And also, Weenie Roast tickets and beach party. That's coming up tomorrow.